You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a
conversation. Yeah, the fucking...
Someone... It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's intense.
It's Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
Podcast.
No topics, no directions, but I love doing it.
On riotcast.com.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. How did that make me happy?
I can't hear anything.
I'm sorry, guys. That made me so happy. So fucking happy. Oh, fucking good kicking. All right, guys. Here we are. I'm sorry about that. I had fucking, someone had the level, the knob that no one told me about, no one talks about. That's what we call this knob. And when, because Rob never told me that knob existed because he didn't want me to touch it. So, you know, because I would
This sounds like an uncle molestation story. The knob that no one talks about.
You can touch it, but don't tell me.
Yeah, it's, what's wrong?
No, she's got to turn my headphones up.
Oh. Yeah, so this knob was turned all the way to the right for some reason, which makes it extremely loud, because that's the intro music knob. And I didn't turn it down, and everybody, I just blew out everybody's ear.
So. It was like being in Scanners.
Good fucking reference.
Yeah, that's an old.
Holy shit reference. Kelly, why don't you go around the room and tell everybody what the fuck's going on.
Okay, to my right, the leader of the Listomaniacs, Joe List.
I prefer the truth. I don't lead the Listomaniacs. Frank Gwynn leads the Listomaniacs. I'm just List.
He's the List.
But he's the master. And then to his right, Ryder, Arrested Development. I've never spoken to you about that, and I want to. Everyone in this room wants you to cast them. Dean Laurie.
Oh, well, hello.
Well, Arrested. Let's go through a list. I mean, the Arrested Development, the Crazies,
the crazy ones,
and also. He was the showrunner and the motherfucker of Bronx Warrants, of the show I was on.
The show Bobby was on, which was fucking great, and he was great in it.
And it's just dead now, right?
It's dead, but there's other things.
Yeah, there's other things. But.
And then a man who about 45 minutes ago I called Mike.
It was
Brandon
8 minutes
Collins.
Ago. It was literally 8 minutes ago.
Saw you a week ago.
Yeah. This is the best, though. Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
Kelly called Brandon Mike and then goes like this. Oh, it's because Mike Lawrence is on the show. Because she doesn't want... Clearly, she mistook him for his black friend and co-host.
But I know Mike...
But doesn't want to seem racist, so she's like, oh, I thought you were Mike Lawrence.
No, I'm racist. I'm not denying that. Oh, yeah. And then in the middle, Mike Lawrence...
My name's actually Brandon Collins. You fuck up.
He's getting mad. All right, Lewis, calm.
Yeah, married in like 10 days.
Yay.
Right. To a great,
I'm
great
glad
show.
I didn't fuck that up.
Yeah. This is the worst bachelor party ever, by the way.
There's no way this is worse than your actual bachelor party.
I know. I saw the pictures from your actual bachelor party.
I went to Atlantic City and watched my friends lose money. It was the best.
And then, is this your first time on the show?
Yes.
It is. Oh, man. So the master behind all the posters you see for the YKWD, comic artist extraordinaire, Howard Porter.
Hello.
Welcome.
And beanbag champion of Bobby Kelly's barbecue.
Did he win?
Oh, shit.
We won.
Oh, you won. Was it because of you or because of him?
He carried me to
I scored 20 points and he scored one. But you need 21 to win.
Yeah.
Last not least, we have the producer, Chris Scopo.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Okay, well,
now you know why. Now you know why he's not on the show. He's a producer of the show. That fucking energy, just Jesus Christ!
I'm trying to get.
You're like a mushy chair in an audition.
Yeah,
you sounded like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon character.
Jesus Christ!
Hey, guys, trying to get shit together for the show.
He's working.
Hey, me too.
And then the man behind everything, Roberto Kelly.
Call me Roberto again, and I will.
You love it.
What about you? What about you, fun tits?
Oh, California.
I'm sorry. Did that come out? That's what I was thinking.
Joe Liz has got a very good angle right now.
Howard.
Is your arm.
Howard is... Howard, you work for DC Comics. Do you work for anybody else?
No, strictly for DC. You, but,
strictly.
He did an arc of Fantastic Four in the early 2000s, but he mostly worked for DC.
I have worked for Marvel and stuff, and I did some work I could for list Gatorade. Off
all into the mic. Talk on the mic.
I did some Gatorade bottles that are out now.
Really?
NFL, like Peyton Manning. And
no shit.
Eli, yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Now, if you were to draw superhero tits, would you? Could Kelly's? Could you fix those?
Like, could you? They're fine.
Goddamn right, they're fine. Yeah.
You haven't really looked at
the fine. The incredible bulk.
So we got a great show today. A bunch of my favorite people are on here, and Dean Laurie's in town, who is promoting a book that I gave Joe List.
Oh boy,
you didn't read it.
Well,
you didn't read the book?
I planned to read it, but the thing is, I left it in my car.
It's like 10 pages long, and it's mostly illustrations.
I like the illustrations, and I read the appraisals. Appraisals?
The back of the book?
The blurbs?
Yes.
Wait. If you read the recommendations of the book, but then don't read the book, that's like the dickest thing in the world.
I read enough to go, this is great.
I'll trust your opinion, New York Times.
There's some real big names on there.
People I respect think this book is good.
Yes.
Howard, I gave it to you.
I read the first couple chapters of the audiobook that I bought.
What?
You read
the first couple chapters of the audiobook?
Yeah.
This is audio?
Yeah. You know, it's actually done.
Why didn't you send me a link?
Well, I didn't know you preferred audio, but you want to know who reads it?
Who?
Vinny Tortorich, who was on the show a while back.
Yes.
You know Vinny. His girlfriend is Serena Scott Thomas, who's a Bond girl, and she's this super upper-crusty British woman.
Right.
And she's, you know, hilarious. She's the sister of Kristen Scott Thomas.
Okay.
And so she read the book a while ago. And thought it was just the funniest fucking thing. And she said, if you ever do an audiobook, I want to read it. And I was like, it doesn't make any sense because it's written, you know, from the point of view of this sort of like filthy Alaskan
piece of shit pervert.
Yeah. And she was like, but just for, you know, for a moment, hear what it sounds like when I read it. So she started reading it and it's all the filthiest, you know, just nastiest stuff. Yeah. But out of her mouth, it was so fucking funny to me. So she reads the audiobook.
Kelly, can we try that right now?
Yes.
Can you do an English accent?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, go ahead. Read the get a page and
you
start
gotta
reading.
You gotta get real upper crust.
No. Can I get the page? I like. Let me see the page.
Oh, I just found a page where I saw the word tits. So I just read
that's,
from there.
That's on every page.
That's the minimum. Wait,
Joe List, you're telling me if Howie Mandel says this is hysterical and it's 50 Shades of Funny, you're not gonna read it afterwards?
I just haven't got to it. I left it in my car. My car is. I live on the second.
In
floor.
Front of your house? Oh, sorry. So you had to walk upstairs.
Two flights of stairs.
All right, Kelly, ready? Here we go. This is the audiobook live on the YKWD. Okay. Ready?
Any British accent?
No.
As upper crust as you can get.
No, not a British accent. He said it's, but we were, yes.
Okay. I'm just getting my direction and my motivation. Now, you might remember that my usual pickup line.
Hang on, stop. That's not upper crust. That's okay. Fucking in the ghetto.
Oh, okay.
That's like a pickpocket.
Right. Speaking of upper crust, there's something on your tits.
Yeah, that's a gypsy. That's somebody fucking Brad Pitt hung out with.
Now, you might remember that my usual pickup line.
Hang on, stop. Think, I want you to think Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins.
Poppins.
There you go.
Mary Poppins. Now, you might remember that my usual pickup line is open your pussy, but Pandora was in a totally other league, so it seemed like I needed to class it up a bit. I stepped up to her and smiled, "Hi, Pandora. Want me to part your beef curtains with my meat stick?"
That's very good.
It's fun.
Give me this. This book is... Here's,
I'm just
happy
to know Kelly can read.
Here's the problem with this book.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with this book.
Tell me.
You didn't tell me...
Filthy.
You told me that it was fucked up and it was
I said it was the filthiest book that's ever been written.
Okay, but you're talking to me, so yeah. I assume that you don't know me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was just fucking, you know, doing a search on clitty.com for fucking multiple fucking, you know, words.
I mean, it turns out you don't know me.
It turns out I can't. Turns out I don't know how to be funny on my own show. I just went words. I just really rambled for 10 minutes and nobody said anything. I give it to my friend Howard Porter,
right?
Who was at my barbecue this weekend, and his wife, beautiful wife, really cool.
Oh, please don't tell me she read.
Well, I go here, read this book. I didn't fucking, you know, I didn't really know about it yet,
yeah.
And I was gonna read it. You know, I'm gonna do it on Sunday night. And Monday night, and I give it to him, and then I start reading the book. I'm like, oh shit!
She didn't read it.
Oh, good. Thank God! Thank God!
Oddly enough, a lot of women have read it and ended up really liking it. Women that I've, you know, been kind of panicky about.
Yeah.
Like a friend of mine, this guy Paul Malmont, who's a novelist, like a fancy novelist, like writes novels, you know?
Yeah.
I gave it to him because he's a buddy. And then his wife emailed me, who's this very kind of like lovely, prim, delightful woman.
Yeah.
You know, emailed to say, you know, I read it. And, I thought it was hilarious. But my ass puckered when she said that, you know, she'd pick the thing up because it's just, as you know, it's yeah. not, you know, for the
yeah,
faint.
It's fucked up, but I do love the illustrations in it. I love this.
Yeah, they're great.
Do you know who it reminds me of? And another comic book artist who we love here on the show,
yeah.
Beck. You know Beck, right?
No, I don't.
You don't know him?
No.
The first
your logo?
Poster we did back in the day. Beck, he's from Germany. He's a comic book artist in Germany. He does, it's a little rougher, you know, a little more like this. He did me and DeRosa. Of course he made me just a little tank, a little fucking angry fat tank. And DeRosa had 9 chins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Zero shoulders.
It reminds me of that. I love this illustration. Who did this?
It's a guy named Dave McKenna who actually...
Dave?
Dave McKenna. He lives out
McKenna?
Here.
McKenna?
You know him?
No.
Oh, shit. Yeah, he lives out here, and I was trying for forever to find an illustrator. And as you might guess,
yeah.
it's weird material to try to find like a good illustrator match for.
Right.
And I was struggling. And then one of my friends said, hey, what about Dave, that guy we went to college with? He's kind of fucked up and living in the village. And this is exactly the kind of shit he does. So, and he was like, literally, he'd lost a job. He was kind of had nothing going on. I said, hey, Dave, you want to do this? And he yeah. said, yeah. And he ended up being like perfect.
Did you know pay him in cocaine or money?
I paid him in Guinness.
Do you know? Do you remember the what was the animated movie that was? Was it Heavy Metal?
Yeah.
Remember it was really dirty and there was fucking in it.
Yeah, it was the R-rated animated movie.
That movie was the shit. There was a lot of titties.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. Sometimes I jerk off to anime.
Yeah, I watch.
Okay,
you do.
Wow.
Yeah, you do. What's your thing?
I like. I fucking get into the whole like. Like just really big titted Asian chicks in anime. For some reason, that's like really hot to me. I'm never into it before.
I just start imagining an animator having to draw the same vagina over and over and over again. There's nothing less attractive to me.
But just a little different, yeah. so you can see it open up.
And that vagina's voiced by Chris Scopo. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm an anime vagina. What's up?
Yeah, Bobby, the mic's not working, and my vagina's not working.
I hate. Monday.
I have a better voice than that, I think.
He was auditioning for Garfield. Someone get me some lasagna. I'm hungry.
So, can somebody turn Joe on, please? Jesus Christ. What are you here to watch?
What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
I'll get him when I have him. Has there ever been a problem with my performance on this show? He's making a joke. I'm letting him make his joke.
I like
We're
that.
Talking about cartoon porn. You fucking
what
psycho.
Is it?
You can have him read the vagina.
Oh. Not until you try it, Joe.
The proper term is hentai.
There's something about this. The cover of the book. First of all, you have the cover of a book. You have a nun.
Yeah.
Which is my thing lately.
Oh, are you into nun porn?
And also,
I feel. I just looked at your fucking assistant. Is over. What's your name again? Kate, it's weird. Yes, I'm into nun porn.
Yeah,
I'm not into fucking nuns like the nuns I had, but a hot nun.
Yeah,
like well, that's chick.
That's a part of the book.
Right. Yeah.
Ice Flow, you know, gets sent to part of what he has to do in his mission is, you know, he's got to learn about religion.
And Ice Flow's a piece of shit.
Ice Flow's a piece of shit.
But physically too.
Physically, he's disgusting.
Physically, hairy knuckled.
He looks like if Dennis Franz got stuck in a tanning salon.
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, he's just this disgusting thing. He's got a 6-inch dick, but he only uses the first 4 because the 5th would kill a bitch and the 6th would open up a rip in the fabric of time. So he's not, you know, he's a mess, and yet he's the greatest cocksman on earth, and everybody wants to fuck him.
Right.
And he's so good that when Earth is facing an extinction level threat, Obama calls upon Ice Flow because only his cock can save us all.
Right.
So basically, it's a sexual journey for Ice Flow is trying to save us, and part of it takes him to the hot nuns of Assisi, which is an order of nuns that the Pope keeps hidden below the Vatican because they're so fuckable that if they were ever set out on the street, you know, there would be.
I love
this. This turns. turns me on.
That's
Right.
This turns me on.
Would you like me to come read it to you later?
It's, well,
it's a British accent.
Yeah, I had a British accent.
It's a very this type. I don't know why, but this type of stuff. I was on. I got turned on. List. I used to jerk off. Remember? I think the original Call of Duty. When you
jerked off to Call of Duty?
I'll explain.
Okay.
When you could talk, right? There was you've been playing a multiplayer game, yeah. And then all of a sudden you hear this sexy girl voice, "Hey guys," and you're like, "Oh shit, there's a girl in the room." And like, I used to meet this girl in like a part of the game. We'd go like over by the abandoned truck,
right?
And she would crouch down and just go back and forth with her character,
right?
And I would stand on a barrel, and it'd be like she was blowing me, and she'd be like, she would talk to me like, "When I suck your cock, oh, you like it? Oh yeah, put your cock in. Oh yeah, come on, jump on my face." And I'd jump out. I used to fuck. I just had my dick out.
It was so like, you'd have to jerk off quick before you got slaughtered.
I would. I'd be fucking furious too. I'd be. They'd be like, "Where are you guys at? We need help. They're attacking." I'm getting head by some fucking dude because it's a guy.
It's definitely a guy.
It's not a guy. It was a real girl.
Really?
It was just an army guy. Because yeah, you know, in Call of Duty, there's no female soldiers. It was a dude.
Nor should there be.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
There we go.
I was once playing Street Fighter against someone online, and I could hear a kid getting beaten in the background. Just so sad to me. I was like, I can't play like this.
How about when you're playing
real violence? Yeah.
I've played online where you just hear a kid in the background going, "Dad, Dad, one second, Dad,
King of Kong,
Dad, I gotta do my homework, Dad. Just give me 1 second."
Wait, Max
Dad.
Has homework already.
Well, it's like all the white.
Is your mic on?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Go ahead.
Like all the white kids
tough,
who
the laughs.
All the white kids who sound black left the malls and just went to online gaming. Like that's literally every type of.
You said the word black, and Brandon's behind you. I'm just waiting for a response.
Did anybody else feel
But I also said the word white, and Brandon's behind me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
I used to...
Yeah, you're not here today for your blackness. You're definitely here for your outfits.
When you called me, I was like, oh, boy, I'll be there.
He co-produces a bunch of shows with a guy named Mike Brown.
Yes, I know.
He was here last week.
Oh,
Kelly called him that earlier.
I think
called him Mike Lawrence.
She tried shooting him.
Could they ever like that movie Heavy Metal?
Yeah.
Could they ever animate something like this?
I sold it. I'm doing it.
Oh shit.
I'm doing it as an animated series at FX with Adam Reed, who created Archer.
Right.
Yeah, he's my partner on it. So
I want to be a voice. Can I be a voice?
Yeah, I want to borrow money.
You're hired right now. You probably could be Ice Flow.
I want to be a fuck. Tell me what I got to do.
Yeah.
Because I want to be a voice in this. Because I think
that's it. You're in.
This is fucking. I mean, here's the thing.
By
too.
The way, it's called Romance for Men. I don't know if we mentioned that. But
the name is very deceiving.
Yeah.
Because when you told me about it, I was like, what? I go, oh, this queer wrote a fucking novel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because Dean's a friend of mine. I'm like, this fucking queer wrote a novel. And I Romance for Men. And I came out into the porch.
Yeah.
And the sun was glistening on the Mississippi. Go fuck yourself, Dean. But then he sent me the book. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Well, the idea is, you know, it's like, what would a romance novel written for guys look like? And that's what this is. Just everything guys would want. And basically, there are a few rules. Like, no chapter longer than 4 or 5 pages. Every chapter with an illustration. It's meant to be like, you know, it's broken down into the length of time it takes you to shit.
This book, first of all, should be in every dude's bathroom.
Yeah, well, it's meant to be. It's shittable.
You need to have it. Because I'm reading it today, the thing about the gay guys.
Yeah.
Here it is right here. This fucking cracked me up.
Oh, look, Marsha Warfield from Night Court says it's shittable. There
ready?
You go.
Yeah. Rules for being a gay boy. This is funny. If you don't go past the tip, not a gay boy. If you get no pleasure from fucking a dude and your heart is filled with hate while you're doing it, you're not a gay boy. If you're drunk enough whiskey to legally blow a
8.28.
0.28, is that bad?
It's real bad.
Oh, okay, is that dead?
You're close.
I'm not an alcoholic. Or higher, you're not a gay boy. If you let a dude fuck you, you're a gay boy. But if you let a dude fuck you, you're a gay boy. If you enjoy fucking a dude, you're a gay boy. There's nothing wrong with being... You had to add this in. I know why you added this.
Yeah, that's all right.
Some editor went, listen, all right, this is funny, I love it, but you need to say this. There's nothing wrong with being a gay boy.
Well, the funny thing about Ice Flow that I was... kind of liking is that he's just got a lot of criteria for what makes you not a gay boy. So that if you're watching Gilligan's Island while you do it, it's so basically he's a gay boy. He's just covering a lot of bases to qualify.
Yeah. So he fucks dudes. He gets his dick sucked.
I think so.
Yeah. Like the rest of us.
Like all of us.
Yeah. We just hide it.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
Yes. I would probably have sex with Bailey J. Every time I see that chick.
Oh, I was trying to call you last week, but you didn't answer your fucking phone.
Who, me?
Yes.
When was this?
I called you Tuesday. I called you Wednesday. I was trying to invite you to my barbecue because I know you came into town early.
Shit, yeah, I would have loved to have come.
I was trying to invite you to the barbecue. And here's the problem with the barbecue. Can I talk about this?
I got some problems with it, too.
Oh, no.
No, my problems. What are your fucking problems?
Well, I found out yesterday you threw your barbecue on topless day in New York and everywhere, international. You guys know about this?
No.
Sunday was, Google image it. It was topless day. There was a parade from Columbus Circle down to Union Square. Naked women, topless women, trying to get, I don't know, they're acting like they want free rights because men can walk with their shirts off, which I don't think you really can many places. And so they did the whole march. And there was just topless women everywhere. And I'm at your dumb barbecue playing beanbags with Howard, who got one fucking point.
I thought you had a good time.
I had an okay time until Monday when I Google imaged topless Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild.
Listen, man.
It's just tits running around New York City.
They're not running around. They're attached to legs. Let me see, Kelly. Here's the deal.
I was in 30. It's not how the fuck. I didn't see anything.
It can't be that good. Oh, shit. It is that good.
Is it really?
Well, dude, there's one pair of good tits. The rest of them looks like my sister.
There's no
fucking volcano titties.
There's no such thing as a bad pair of tits, Bobby.
Yeah, there is. Look at those tits.
Well, Jesus.
Yeah. Not her tits, not Kelly's.
Sorry.
I'm talking even titties.
Yeah, there's something about Mary titties right there.
Yeah, there's a terrific boobs.
Yeah, they're all right.
Pass us around.
Yeah, pass it around. Anyways.
Oh, that's not bad.
Other than that,
we had my barbecue. Great. And here's the problem with having a barbecue when you have, you know, Keith Robinson calls me up and says, listen, you're a piece of shit. If you don't have a barbecue in the next week, I'm going to knock you the fuck out. Pretty much. Because I'm one of the only guys that are not friends who have a house, who has a barbecue, has a backyard.
So it's your responsibility.
It's my responsibility. But I fear it because here's why. Back in Boston, Dave Fitzgerald, comedian back in the day, Fitzy, you know Fitzy?
Yeah.
He would have barbecues and everybody would go and you'd feel almost honored if you got invited, blah, blah, blah. And he died. Patrice used to have the barbecues.
Right.
And he passed away, God rest his soul. Oh. Now I'm the guy having the barbecue. I'm just fucking like, am I next?
Are you next?
Yeah.
It's not final destination.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You're next.
What do you mean I'm next?
Well, I don't know. You're very high strung. You're a nervous guy. You're yelling a lot. The weight's been discussed on previous episodes. I worry about you.
Mathematically speaking.
You're very promiscuous as a youngster.
What, fucking AIDS? I don't have AIDS.
DePaulo has barbecues. He'll die. He's very high strung.
All right, listen.
Blood pressure.
So we have this barbecue, but here's a problem with barbecues. You forget people. You invite, okay, dude, Keith, Norton, Colin. Oh, we got to invite Amy. Okay, Joe and Kelly and Dan. And then, he's not at town. And then all of a sudden you start remembering all these people you have to invite.
Yeah.
The party went from 5 people to 30 people. Now, here's the problem. You know, I should have invited Mike. I should have invited you.
Yeah.
Right? I invited Howard.
You did invite Brandon.
I did invite.
You didn't give me the address, though, when you talked to me on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Dude, you knew I had a zip code.
Okay. This is exactly what I'm fucking talking about.
I'm familiar with that move.
This is exactly what I'm
talking about. No address.
Here's Ben Bailey. Ben Bailey gets mad at me fucking Saturday night. I leave. I was coming back. He didn't know that. He goes, he doesn't think I know about his barbecue. And I come back, and Keith's like, oh, shit, he talked about your barbecue. I'm like, Ben, of course you can come. I've known you for 20 years. You can come to my barbecue. You just text me. Where's the address, you dummy?
Yeah, why do you?
You could have just came, Michael.
I was sleeping.
I just came right now, but no. The thing is, like,
I forgot to invite fucking Adrian, who's a part of the show. I forgot it.
Which one is Adrian?
The one on the left.
Is that thing?
Yeah.
I'm about to do a wedding. That whole thing is that.
Well,
that's
fucking
nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
That's all weddings are. It's like once you crack open that list.
And the thing is, like, comics, like, we're used to not getting booked for things. But it's also, we're the fucking worst about not getting booked for things.
But you did it smart, Mike, because you're getting married in a Poconos, aren't you?
I'm getting married in my mom's backyard. It's like a small backyard. I can't have that many people. Right. But it's like...
I eloped in Maui. And I had a live video feed of the wedding. Your invitation was a website. So you went to the website at fucking 9 o'clock, and you watched me get married.
So it was just you, and then
me
people
and,
watching.
Well, my wife, too.
Oh, she showed up?
And then the Hawaiian dude that looked like me with a conch shell.
Because you start thinking of the things like this where you're like, oh, man, like I really wouldn't want to invite this guy, but I don't know his girlfriend that well, so I'll invite this sad single guy instead because I don't want to deal with the plus one. Like, you know,
It's weird, but like even for a barbecue, here's the problem too that you're going to run into. If you say, okay, I invited this many people, Ben didn't show up, all these people didn't show, that were kind of like, you know, okay.
But
now,
you know, comedy, most people just want to know that.
I got 32 fucking hamburgers, you motherfuckers. I got to buy 32 hamburgers, 32 steaks. 32 sausages, hot dogs. I got to make sure everybody has food. I can't just, you know, wing it. And if you show up, I don't have enough food for you. Now I got all this extra food because you're a dickhead and you just wanted the invite. You just wanted to know that you were invited, but you're going to blow me the fuck off. That's why, you know, it's like Patrice and Colin got no fight about that shit.
Well, it's even worse with weddings. What you got faced because what will happen is all these people are RSVP, and then you got to pay. You pay by the head for people that say they're coming. And then, like, when we got married, I got calls all morning going, yeah, we're not going to make it today. And you got to pay for all those people. Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's expensive.
And it depends, too. Someone's going to be like, look, man, I got a guest spot on a bringer show, and I just, you know, there was going to be industry there. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, wedding is way more important than my fucking barbecue. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm offended that I didn't get an invite to your wedding, but whatever. Yeah. The thing is, I just want the invite. I'm absolutely not coming. I fucking hate weddings. I fucking hate them. I like the gifts after, you know, you get from the wedding is awesome. All the fucking, you know.
The envelopes of money.
Yeah, the envelopes of money. Talking to the microphone.
We're having a Jewish.
You can always tell somebody who has never been on radio before because they're like, you know, envelopes of money.
Yeah, we're having a Jewish wedding. We're doing it for the gifts. I mean.
Are you really?
I mean,
How long have you been married, Howard?
21 years.
Oh, Jesus. Wow. Yeah.
I had to do the math.
Boy, you look like a youth. You look young.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
No.
How old are you?
45.
You're 45.
Yep.
So you got married out of the gate.
I was with her 6 years before, since 87. God.
Wow.
So. You guys are fucking sweethearts.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Were. Yes.
What do you mean you were? You are now. Yeah,
that's a real comic. That right there, that's a real comic book fan. The inability to let go of anything.
Yeah, my collection.
He's like, I went through my wife being a clone. I went through her dying and coming back. I went through all these different phases. I'm still with her.
I like the original wife.
Yeah. I went through her when the original artist left and Howard Porter started drawing her. I went through her.
Do you remember the playing with the asshole arc that we had? I like that arc.
Yeah, exactly.
The dark butthole arc. That was
The breaking of the dick arc. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Chris Claremont wrote that one. It went on forever. But the inner monologues of the dick were great. So. Just thought balloons coming out of a dick.
I love this fucking inside comic book fucking shit.
Howard took me to the DC offices. It was one of the greatest moments of my life, which I can only say because it's before my wedding.
We got to hold the Action Comics number one.
The first appearance of Superman.
Just sold last night. A copy of that sold. Last night for $3.4 million.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wait, so the original Superman appearance was not a Superman comic?
It's called Action
Comic, but he was in every issue. Like,
oh, I see.
I weeped. Like, I started to cry. Like, holy.
When you held it?
It's like if you believe in religion and you hold the Bible, like, that's the one that started it all. That's the first superhero comic book ever.
Really?
Yeah.
And Batman one with
the first appearance of Batman.
Really? Yeah. How was the drawings? Was it shitty?
No, they're pretty good.
Really?
Good? So is it just in a vault somewhere?
They have a library where they have every issue, at least one comic.
Every single comic book ever published by DC.
By DC.
Wow.
Is in this one library.
And you got to go there.
Yeah.
And you flipped out.
Oh, it was amazing.
Was somebody with you? Like,
some curator, yeah.
Stuffy lady? Yeah.
But can a normal person
It was an old
not,
man.
Can't you just really? Buy a ticket to go there? Or did you have an inside thing?
No, it's in the offices.
He works, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
works
in D.C. So I can't just go to Washington, D.C. and buy a ticket and go in there?
No. Wait, D.C.? Oh, you think it's actually in Washington, D.C.?
Is it not in D.C.?
Yeah, they just laughed at Joe so hard.
You ain't nerd.
A real dummy.
You're nothing. You're nothing.
Joe's a dummy. Joe's a dummy.
So where is it?
It's in New York.
Well, it's actually moving to LA. The whole company. Yeah. What are you going to do? Do you work freelance at home, or work there?
Work from home. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's getting a divorce.
Most of the artists, though, they can just ship their stuff anyway.
He has a new story arc.
Yeah, news.
No, that's crazy that you're married for that long, brother. That's nuts.
Yeah.
And you guys live in Connecticut, and you do your art. You have his office is amazing, by the way. I love it. And
like
you,
a dungeon.
It's not really a dungeon. It's very bright. I thought it was nice.
Dude, we got the whole Mr. Freeze's gun from Batman and Robin.
Really?
Oh my God.
I was
like,
awesome.
I hate that this shitty movie existed, but I'm glad I got to hold this gun.
I went to Marvel. Okay.
I've been there too. It's awesome.
And I love Marvel. I love, I'm probably more of an Avengers or Iron Man and, fan right now, X-Men, but I go back and forth. But when I went there, it was kind of like they brought me into the rooms with the writers and there's like two or three guys in a room and they're working on the stories and they're really excited to show you what they're doing. And you're like, oh, this is great. That's cool. And cool. And I'm checking it out. But I didn't get to hold anything. I didn't get to see. Like, I just went room to room and then I went into the Thor room and they let me hold the hammer. But that was it.
That wasn't a hammer.
Like, I think it sounds
like you had a fucking blast.
That sounds horrible.
The thing was, I took pictures of I got invited to the Marvel office, and then Howard was like, let's go to the DC one that week. And I was like, sure. And I think because I was with Howard, they let us see more of like the cool shit.
So I need to find somebody.
Because even if you're more of a Marvel guy, like when you hold that Superman, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like I wanted to see, like I was like, where is there something I can be like, holy fuck? And I have like, like I held Thor's hammer, but it doesn't even weigh 800 million elephants. It was regular weight.
It's like, here's a washcloth that Stan Lee jizzed on, and that's how he created the Hulk.
I'd fucking take it. I'd smell it. I'd do something. No, they
treated, has infinite powers.
They treated me really good over there. They did.
No,
but
great.
You know what I did that I never saw? I did a video. You know, the apps. I love the fucking apps on the iPad. Well, reading a comic book on an iPad makes it so much easier because it takes you, because a lot of, I'm stupid and I don't know where to go sometimes. And this actually just goes to the next. In the next panel. And I did one where I was supposed to be inside the comic book, where at a point I would come on and go, hey, it's Robert Kelly. But I think they realized that how not famous I am. I think somebody sold them on me being more famous than I actually am. And then they realized, we're not putting that in the comic. Because I've been looking for it ever since. Like, I was supposed to be in the iPad comic book app for Marvel.
For Marvel.
Yes. Where I'd come up with, hey, what's going on? And I say some stupid shit and then it goes away.
That stinks.
That would have made me really.
You lost out on that Marvel money, man. You fucked up.
Well, I did it.
You fucked up somewhere.
I did it for nothing. I thought it would just be awesome. I'm such a big fan.
That would have felt so weird because I would be reading that comic and be like, oh, it's Robert Kelly, the guy who invited me to his barbecue.
Michael, listen, here's the deal, brother.
I know, but I'm just fucking with you, dude.
I should have gave you Joe's spot if I knew it was titty day.
Yeah.
I thought I really had a great performance at that barbecue. I had some big laughs. Joe, I was undefeated in the cornhole board.
He actually writes
three
for the barbecues.
I got a smile from Max, and it was a pretty big day.
Are you and Max on good terms now?
I think we're good, yeah.
Good.
I wouldn't mind trimming his hair a little bit, but...
My kid's hair is awesome.
It's okay.
Dude, my kid...
How old is your kid?
It's fine.
14 months.
Yeah. That's about the time you got to start getting concerned about hair length.
It's a little bushy.
What do you mean a little bushy? What are you talking about? Both of you, just wrote a book on fucking a dude who fucks dudes, and it's okay if you have a Coke. My kid.
That kid is growing hair for two people, all right? He's carrying the Kelly legacy of hair.
He's got beautiful hair. Don't listen to these things.
Do you think he's already concerned about the future of his hair looking at you?
No, I don't. But you, me and you both, I know. Right? Oh, God, it's the worst.
It's terrible, right?
It's not terrible.
How old were you when you first saw you were going
bald? Here's what I miss hair. I never miss my hair at all. I'm very content being bald, shaving my head, until we shot the pilot for Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Right.
And we had to do a flashback, and they came in with one of these $1,000 wigs. Like, these wigs are someone's fucking hair, and it's on my head, and I had to get a haircut. So you have to go in and get a legitimate haircut. And I forgot how sexual a haircut is. When a woman...
Yeah, when they're taking your head and moving...
When an old Italian man with wet hands... What is the sexual about?
There's hot breath on your neck. And
It's just... I've missed it. You know the soft touch and the washing of the hair and the neck and the you don't know. You got
Dominican
some
guys just whispering in my ear.
You got some black guys making fun of you. Look at this motherfucking white nerd motherfucker. You want to fade, bitch?
Oh, he call himself Brandon up in here. He got a 401k and shit.
This motherfucker wearing khakis. Fuck this motherfucker.
They only like me because I give good tips. That's why they leave me alone now.
Really? Yeah. What's a tip?
I like my hair because I'm 18, so I'll give him 25.
Ooh, that is a fucking good
big tip. Yeah,
I bet this motherfucker votes and shit. This motherfucker part of the electoral process.
I'm not really comfortable with the race humor. What was going on?
Oh, I'm sorry, guy from Boston.
There's a lot of serious issues happening right now. It's cool.
But I when I was getting my hair cut, and then I had it, and I remember on set, I'm like flipping it to listen. Like, what'd you say? And I was like, oh, I miss my hair.
How did you feel you looked with that hair?
I felt like I looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked really good. And that's when I was really on the no sugars, no grain.
Right.
I fell off.
Yeah.
You're looking at me. So, I love your acting ability.
There's no judgment. There's no judgment.
No judgment. But I'm back on for, it's been a week. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Howard's referencing you when he draws his next thing book.
That was
me. That was
me. He drew an issue in which the thing died.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right, we're going all over the place. Let me just stick with this. The barbecue situation, and it is a fucked up thing, because you don't know. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I can't have 70 people at my barbecue, and I can't invite 70 people and have fucking 10 show up and have 70 dolls worth 70 people's worth of meat there.
Did you buy beer and shit too, or
I don't buy alcohol. That's my thing. I don't buy tonic and sodas and waters, and if you want booze, bring your own booze.
So people can bring it.
Yeah, people bring shit. And my wife, we make dessert, and we have food. And my wife's a great cook.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, comics are flaky too. Someone just texted you, I got booked on a better barbecue. I'm sorry. You know, like
yeah. I mean, it's you know, I know there's a certain core group of friends that I invite, and then there's my other friends outside of that who can actually come. But if I have a barbecue, just stop the fuck by. If there's not enough food, I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But don't fucking secretly hate me because I didn't invite you to my fucking barbecue.
Do you feel like a lot of people are angry at you about this barbecue?
Dude, look, you know why I know this? Because I used to get mad at Dave Dave Fitzgerald when I didn't get invited. You feel rejected. Because when me and you sit down and we're on a road or we have a talk or we do something, you feel like you're bonded and that you would be invited. And then, like Patrice didn't invite Colin because Colin said no. I didn't make it twice. So he's like, I'm not inviting him anymore because I know he's going to say no. And there's certain people that I don't invite because I know they're going to say no. And I don't really need them to say no. I don't want to deal with it. Keep inviting them. Fuck off. You know, I'm not doing that. And then Colin called him up and said, why don't you fucking invite me? Because you're going to say no. He goes, that's not the point. That's my invite. That's my friend. You're my friend.
Right.
That I own that invite. You need to fucking invite me. I'm your pal. And you got to let me decide. Because what if I do want to go and you didn't invite me? And it's this weird friend psychological fucking boundaries thing that you got to kind of be wary of.
You're finding a lot of politics in barbecues that I never knew.
It really is, like, man.
Part of it.
Have you thrown a barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
And has people gotten mad at you?
Yeah. And we're also like, we're always the family that throws every fucking holiday. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that stuff. And so we always have people over. And then it gets to be a thing. Like, you know, who are you going to invite? Who are you going to? And then people, and it's what you're talking about. I run into a lot of relatives who want the invite even though they're not going to be able to make it. They know, and then they get pissy when I know they can't come. And then I get a call. I don't get invited.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, of course you're invited. Well, I can't make it.
That's another thing. Like, Christmas is terrible, especially if you've got parents that aren't together anymore.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, separate your time, and then you're going to spend lunch with your dad, not with your mom? Blah, 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 blah. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah, it's a fucked up thing. That's why I think you're doing the best thing with your wedding.
Yeah. Destination wedding.
I don't get mad when people, like, I invited LA people out of that same formality.
Right.
You know, because I have a lot of friends who I met here who moved there, and I know they can't come. And if people say they can't afford it or whatever, I don't get personally upset about shit like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, I found out my dad's coming. I'm happy. That's it.
You know? Your dad, do you have both parents or just the dad?
I have both parents.
But you don't talk to your mom?
No, I talk to my mom. I'm doing that at my mom's place.
Oh, okay, so your mom's place, but your dad and mom don't live together.
Oh, no, they divorced years ago. But my dad, like, never come to any of my TV tapings or anything.
You're kidding me.
No.
Why?
I don't know.
That's fucking sad. Do you want him there?
Yeah. I made him my best man just so he'd show up to
that. Oh,
oh my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Holy Christ.
To write a chapter on that, you fucking creep. Yeah. Jack Iceflow, cunt face. Is Jack Iceflow his dad?
Yeah. He's got father problems in the book.
Jesus Christ, man.
You write it and he draws it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's very sad, dude.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, he was a great father. Like, he raised us, and then he found a woman, like, afterwards, like, after raising us, he sobered up, and, you know, he was like, you know what? I'm good. And we see each other, like, once or twice a year, and that's about it.
Where does he live?
Now he lives in Florida. Well, the thing was, like, with the tapings, I remember, like, the first one I did, I was like, you're gonna come, right? You're gonna come, you know? And he was like, yeah, I'll try. And then he told me he couldn't. And then by, like, the third one, I was just like, I accept it. Yeah.
This is what kills me now that I have a kid, I have a son. I'm like, I can't imagine. And I don't know, maybe...
He's never been in New York, and I've been here almost 8 years.
I can't imagine rejecting my kid like that.
Yeah.
I can't. I can't imagine going, I'm not going to make it. I would I'd walk to New York if I had to. Yeah. If I couldn't afford it, I'd fucking hitchhike to make sure I made it to your taping.
Man,
do you want me to meet your dad in the next one?
No.
You sure?
I like having the empty seat in the front and then looking at the hallway. Because one day he's going to clap. And no, my dad's like the Simpsons. I remember the good years. I know it's still on, and I just don't watch.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He's cool. Like, I talk to him, like, you know, once, twice a month, and, you know, it is what it
is. You have a friendship.
Yeah.
You're friends now.
You know, and the truth is, like, he had a stroke, like, a month ago.
Oh, God.
And I, you know, he's not the healthiest guy. I thought about the idea of losing him, and I don't want that anger. I never want to be mad at him.
Good for you, man. That's really cool that you...
Because, you know, what's the point of that? Yeah.
And it is. Look, I don't know. I have a brand new kid, so I have no idea where I'm going to be when he's, you know, whatever your age is, 30-something.
Yeah, 31,
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe you... I remember when I was a kid, it was sad because, I didn't have a father for that time. And I had to go to, like, father-son potluck dinner, and my teacher had to take me.
That's the worst, yeah. Mm.
You know, Mr. DiPersio took me to the...
Mr. DiPersio.
And he's, you know what I mean? It's like I'm there with all my student friends in sixth grade, and everybody knows that Mr. D... And then they were like, is he your dad? I'm like, no. He's my dad for tonight, and he was cool to do it, but it was like.
The thing is, it was like when I was a kid, I had joint custody, so 1 week I was at my mom's, and 1 week I was at my dad's, and my mom remarried pretty much after the divorce, and I never, like, my stepdad was just this dude that was there, because I still had my dad, and now my stepdad's still there, and I like him more now. Like, he's doing so much shit for the wedding and everything.
Your stepdad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. My stepdad, too. I love my stepdad, you know, Larry, who's, like, the shit. And I've said to him before, if you took over right when the other one left, the original, if there was no other stepdad in between there who fucking abused me and my sister for 5 years, I'd be a different guy. I'd probably be listening to oldies, taking care of a lawn, having some, working at, like, I'd be like the assistant manager at a Home Depot somewhere, you know, because I have people skills. Hey, how you doing? Can I help you with something?
The
screws
thing,
are over here. Gary, you want to get down here and help my friend out? Okay, I'll take care of that for you. Don't worry about
it. My dad
that.
Not showing up to each TV taping means I'll have another one. You know? It's just like that anger of like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to write more fucking shit. I'm going to, you know.
What about your parents? Your parents still around?
They're divorced. My father passed away a few years ago, but my mom's still around.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Your father passed. Were you close with your parents?
Yeah, I talk to my dad pretty much every day. He calls. So, like, still feels 12 o'clock, feels like the phone's going to ring. My dad's asking how's work going and stuff.
But, really?
Yeah.
What did your dad do?
He worked for, he was a truck driver, Texaco. For many years and
really?
Yeah.
Was he must have been like flipping out that you were an artist, right? I mean, that's almost like having a prodigy. You know what I mean? When you have a kid, if my kid can draw like you, I'm going to be like, yes, yes.
He was very proud. And when he passed away, I kind of lost. I realized I was everything I was doing in art was to make him proud.
Right.
So when he passed away, I was like, why am I doing this? And so it was a couple of years of some down.
You didn't like doing what you did?
No.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's crazy, man. Here, you know, art with me, I'll tell you about, I went to Bunker Hill Community College, yeah. I know. But
that's
I went for
Robin Williams taught.
What?
That's what Robin Williams taught.
That was a fake movie.
Oh. he was so good.
I
you had a scholarship, right?
I got a scholarship for fine art, and I was going for, you know, I was going to be an art teacher. That was my thing. But I found out that my whole thing of art was a people pleasing thing, a phony thing too. Right. I remember when I was in second grade, my mother, and I was so fucking like miserable, and my mother sat down with me and got me this charcoal kit and a pad of paper, and she would teach me to draw. And one day we were drawing. I wanted to draw a Great Dane head, and I drew this head with her. But she helped me. Yep. She helped me. She basically, my mother could draw, and she drew this great, and she passed it off as me, and she showed everybody. Well, look what Bobby drew. Yeah. And then I brought it into school. My art teacher, you know, Mrs. Irving, who was a cunt to everybody, right? Except for me, because she took me around. I had to go around every class with this drawing that my mother fucking drew. And it was me. So they thought I was a fucking prodigy. They thought I was this amazing artist. And I wasn't. And that went all the way to high school.
This is a Robin Williams story.
I went all the way to high school. And I'm, you know, I had to draw the cover of the calendar.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, I don't know. I just drew a head with a hand on top of it.
Impostor.
Can you just do the Great Dane head again?
Yeah. It was fucking. But I realized I'm not a fucking art. I like art. I can do that. But I was, that was something just to please my mom. Right. Just so I was like, oh my god, we're doing something together. And I walked around like a phony in the second grade, holding up this awesome Great Dane head.
It's like Seinfeld with the race. I choose not to run. Like, you should never have drawn again. No, Joe. Okay.
When are you going back to Australia?
Is that a bandana on that one?
Well,
I know
it's a reference.
It's funny because my mom did comedy, and that's why I didn't want to do it.
Did you know that his mom was a stand-up comic?
My mom was a stand-up for like over 15 years.
Yeah. I did know that, but where was she a comic?
Florida.
And was she, I don't mean to offend you, was she good? Was she a hack? Was she funny?
She wasn't a hack. She was good. I mean.
But what did she do?
She emceed a lot and featured and shit. I mean,
so
that was
Kelly.
In the boom. Yeah.
Kelly,
don't
you
fucking, don't you call my mom Kelly Festuca. You fucking shut your fucking mouth.
I actually saw my Mike's mom do stand up. Open mic, and she's adorable. Like,
really?
Like Mike's mom, you know what I mean?
My mom like auditioned for that
Beard?
Nick Mom's thing.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and I took her to some of the mics, and I hosted the audition that she did, so I got to bring up my mom doing stand-up.
What a great... That's like a Robin Williams movie, too.
Yeah.
Just going to put a red
you
nose
made a
on.
Lot of movies. So.
Yeah.
I did.
No, but it was awesome. No, she was funny. She already had us when she started, so she just never had as much time as she wanted to pursue it and shit.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Did she, we, me and her, like, open for Marc Maron 20 years apart, just about.
Wow. That's nuts.
My God. Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
She knew Voss. She knew.
Oh, I feel bad for her.
I know.
I feel fucking. What are you doing? You want to go get a hamburger? Yeah. Speaking of Robin Williams, you were on the show with him.
Yes.
And I called you again to, you know, to give you my condolences. He was a writer, one of the head writers on the show, The Crazy Ones.
The Crazy Ones, yeah.
Yeah, with Robin Williams. So, I mean, you knew him.
Yeah, I mean, I knew him pretty well. I mean, I knew him. I just met him when we started doing the show. I met him on the pilot. So, right. You know, I didn't, it's not like I'm a long term friend of his or anything like that, but you know, he's a lovely guy, and I grew up with him just like everybody else did, and so it was like meeting a legend. Yeah. And he was the opposite of what I imagined. Like I had kind of imagined he'd be a very manic guy all the time, and he was the opposite. You know, he was very quiet and very gentle guy, and could get really funny and be animated, but was just really sweet and just, you know, enjoyed making everybody laugh. You know, he would talk to anybody. He was just a genuinely, genuinely nice guy. And it was shocking when I heard the news, as it was for everybody, I guess. And it really hit me very hard. And you know, and I was trying to figure out, I thought, well, maybe it's because I, you know him a little bit. But I realized I think it's more just that I grew up with him, you know, like it hit everybody, because it's just, you know, his movies were the touchstone movies of my life. And you know,
I think you're right, because it did. I don't get affected by those celebrity deaths really whatsoever. You know, Michael Jackson died and I was like, I love Michael Jackson, but I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? But but this one, actually, I did. There was something I was like, oh, God. What the fuck, man? Why is this sad? Why am I sad about this?
Well, did you take his psychology class at Bunker Hill?
He wasn't. Joe. That was a movie? That's not real.
I did watch World's Greatest Dad after it happened. That's great movie.
Oh, terrific.
You know, what's funny is the night after the news hit about it, that night I got a little drunk and was sitting in my office, and that's the movie I put on. I sat and watched World's Greatest
Dad. What is it about?
It's about...
Is it Rosard?
The world's greatest
Bobcats movie.
Yeah. It's about he's the father of this kid who is just the biggest shit. It's the best portrayal of a teenager I've ever seen. This kid's like the fucking worst. Like just this horn dog asshole kid.
Yeah.
And the kid dies of autoerotic asphyxiation, and Robin Williams decides to make it look like a hanging and writes a suicide note for him, like you did with your mom's art, and puts it in the pocket.
Jesus Christ.
And
what the
that
fuck?
Went dark.
Yeah. I hope your dad never calls you. I hope he never comes to a show. I hope you win an Emmy and he goes boo and it's him in the audience. Go ahead.
And then Boo Earns. No. But no, but he and the note, the note gets passed around and read, and it becomes this inspirational thing. And the whole thing is that the whole school sees the kid as this wonderful, amazing person after the fact. So it's the whole movie is about how we obsess with death and we make people who are terrible seem brilliant.
Wow. That's cool. I got to check that out.
It's great.
It's really good.
It's on Netflix.
Bobcat directed it and I think wrote it too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He wrote it?
Yeah.
He's so fucking good, man.
He's great.
Yeah.
I just watched his Sasquatch movie. And for that type of movie, I thought it was really good. I thought it was fucking well done. You know what I mean?
The thing with this was that the posters and everything.
Yeah.
You just, I mean, because let's be honest, like Robin Williams in the last few years, like did a lot of bad movies. He did. I mean, I'm not being an asshole, but. So when you would see a poster, you just, and the way the poster looks, you're like, oh, this doesn't look that good. And then you see the movie, you're like, oh, this is great.
Because that's why I didn't see it. You're absolutely right. The poster looked like
Globe, right?
Yeah, like is it fucking an RV, you know, movie or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like,
Blubber,
I'm not watching this shit again.
And the name of it,
yeah. So I thought it was definitely something other than what it was.
Yeah,
that sucks. I wonder if the publicity went wrong on that or something happened. Why I don't know, why would they
because
do that?
It was a dark
it's a
film,
really dark subject matter.
Yeah, and they needed to sell the film. Yeah. So how do we sell it? Well, let's get Robin Williams zany in the front, and then
but that wasn't selling anymore. You know what I mean? No. Robin, zany, hey, I'm in an RV. Who wasn't selling? It wasn't happening anymore. And I mean, that's what sucks about it, too. I really sucks that he killed himself. Because if he died regular, it would be sad. But the fact that he took his life as a comic, we all know, even in this business, you know how sad it can get. You know how fucking, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Is it, it's never going to be good again. It's never going to be good at all. Am I ever going to make it? Am I ever going to get back to where I was? People don't like me. And now with social media, it's fucking ridiculous how many times your self-esteem can take a bashing. Yeah. And it's like, how much can we take? How much you suck? How much... you're terrible, and then your own voice is in your head, and then you know where your career is. Oh, yeah. You know, the show just got canceled. I mean, he went back to TV for the first time.
Yep.
In since Mork and Mindy, right?
Yeah, that was and, the first show.
And it gets canceled.
Yeah.
Where do you go in your own brain? How do you haven't made a movie? That movie that you thought you were probably making a great decision to make, this Bobcat movie where it's going to be indie and that doesn't fucking. It's not.
He was about to do Mrs. Doubtfire too, and I was reading. Like,
now we know why. Now we know.
I mean, but that, I mean, that's a part of it. Like that idea. Like you look at like, and I'm sure it'll be okay. But you look at the Dumb and Dumber 2 trailers. They just look like sad old men. Like it's kind of painful to watch. Like the
they paid them a lot
shit.
Of money to go back to that.
No,
they
I know, but it's like you can't sometimes.
Here's why they shouldn't have done that. They already did it. There was a part two with other people.
The prequel.
They did the prequel. You can't now. You going? It's.
But even the trailer is just them rehashing the old jokes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
there's like eight of the same jokes.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
That's why Anchorman 2 is. Anchorman 2 is pretty much just a redux of the first one with like a few Talladega Nights shit in it. That's all it was. That's why I hated it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah,
it was fucking terrible.
That
Anchorman
fight
2.
Scene where it was just like, you know what the first one didn't have that this one does? More celebrities. It's like, but it's not. I'm fucking sick of this trend of like celebrities being just like us, and they're cool. Like I'm glad, like the ice bucket challenge raised a lot of money. But that whole idea of look at them, they're pouring water on themselves too. Like the like all the stuff, like the skits on Fallon and shit, where it's just like look at them now. Like Ellen taking pictures of people eating pizza, and it's like a meme. Ugh.
I don't know how we went from poor Robin Williams' death to your fucking view on Ellen's memes. What the fuck is that?
It's all linked.
It's all linked somehow.
When I kill myself, that'll be why.
Here's the thing is, I feel bad because it's like killing yourself. I feel like there has to be a road to that. There has to be a trail of popcorn somewhere. Man. Somebody close to him had to know something. I don't think you just secretly kill yourself, do you? I mean, don't you? Isn't there like a? I feel like shit.
I don't know, man. Sometimes the depression, like it can, like my mom. I mean, this is getting really personal, but my mom, like about 3 weeks ago, she was living with my grandfather.
Hang on, let me make sure your mic's on.
She was living with my grandfather because my grandmother passed about 2 years ago. She's down there taking care of him.
Yeah,
just disappeared. She just disappeared on my grandfather. He couldn't get in contact with me because she took me out of his cell phone. He's an older, like, he doesn't know how to use phones and shit.
Yeah.
I when he told me that, I freaked out because I know my mom is depressed, but that's like, that's when you, like, you don't really know what someone, how bad they are. And luckily, we found her and she's okay, but.
What, do you know what happened?
She just had, like, a breakdown, man. It was fucking.
Where'd they find her?
Well, she just, like, holed herself up in a hotel. Like, she just disappeared and, like, it was. I mean, you just, sometimes you don't know. Even no matter how close you feel like you are to somebody, you just don't know how down they are. And
clinical depression's a whole other thing. I mean, it's not just being down. It's just, you know, I think it just feels hopeless when people hit that part. And you never know.
And the career stuff never goes away. I mean, that's the thing. His sitcom got canceled. Mm-hmm. He was going to have to go back to, like, and even though, you know, all the memories that people have of him are from, like, 15 years ago, or from 10 years ago, or from their childhood, you know, the genie from Aladdin. And his career was not going the best when.
Do you think it was more that? Or do you reckon it was the diagnosis, though?
It could have been. We have no idea.
But I think Look, there was Parkinson's involved. There was drug addiction, I believe, involved, right? Or
well,
alcohol.
He's been sober for a long time.
Okay. But being sober is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
it's not an easy thing to stay sober, you know? Because you have sober from this, but then you have the underlying causes. Mm-hmm. You have the food, the sex, yeah. All this other stuff that you're fighting too. So it's a fucking nightmare to, you know, to deal with that. And then to deal with the, you know, like, you look at Billy Crystal, same shit. Billy Crystal was the motherfucker. Now he's just not. He's just a different generation. And he might be again someday. I mean, look at Matthew McConaughey. He wasn't shit. He was making garbage movies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he got older and he got uglier. And now he's winning Oscars and Globes and Emmys. Right?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
He didn't really get uglier. He looks better.
He looks better, but not... He used to be perfect, Hollywood, quote unquote, perfect.
Well, things. I mean,
when he did all those rom-coms.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're
leaning on a girl in a poster.
Yeah,
it was like fun.
No one knew what a podcast was 10 years ago, and look what it's done for so many comedians, including yourself. You never know how the tide's going to change.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Changes. Yeah.
Killing it, Joe.
But it's like, I mean, your dad passed away. That must have fucking killed you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and how long are you over it now? Are you cool? Is it still affecting your art?
Said every day that he's calling.
I think the phone's going to ring my pop, but...
We'll rewind it.
Yeah, but I know, I understand. Jesus Christ, Joe. Can you not scream it?
This is the happiest podcast ever.
I was going to say, it's the darkest episode. Jeez.
Well, if you didn't bring up your fucking mom missing, it was going back up. I was going to try to bring it back to this fucking creepy book that this fucking fucking nerd wrote at the end of the table. Jesus Christ.
Bobby. Yeah. When you were at Bunker Hill, was there a really handsome janitor?
And he was super, super smart.
Listen, dude. Yeah,
that guy was a genius.
Yeah.
Bobby, I want to help you learn some things.
I saw a documentary about the school, and there's a lot of characters there.
Well, you even look at, look at how Robin, I mean, you know, there was the stealing. I'm going to bring it up. I know I shouldn't, but... Like that, he probably, when he was rising as a comic, he probably didn't have the respect of his peers. That probably fucked him.
Well, here, look, let's be honest. You know, he was known to be fucking a thief. Yeah. He was known to be a joke thief in the community. He takes stuff. But with his comedy, he would, you know, he would hear somebody, he would, you know, try to do stuff in the moment. When you did stuff in the moment, sometimes you take people's stuff. Look, that's
a fact. But
you
know? I'm just saying
that's a fact. So
how many barbecues do you think he was being invited to by other comics? I'll tell you this.
He was one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in the business. I met him at the Cellar one night. He came in, sat at the table. Robin, hi, how are you? Very nice, awesome. Started smashing Colin Quinn. Me and Keith were laughing, and it made him do it more. It kind of like we were revving him up, and Colin was getting pissed, which made us laugh even harder because he was like, "Oh, I'm Colin Quinn. Who? I'm Colin Quinn. I don't." And we were like, "Yeah, that's Colin." He was like, "Oh, I'm Colin. Hey, Colin, how are you doing? Teleprompters." Colin was like, "Yeah, that's funny, Robin. Yeah, let's keep it up. You fucking cocksucker. I'll fucking murder you." You know. And that's it. But the next time I saw him, he walked in, and he's like, "I was downstairs waiting to go on." He's like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm like, "Oh shit, hey, what's up?" He's like, "How's the show?" I'm like, "It's good." I'm like, "I think you think I'm somebody else." He's like, "No, I know you. I was just saying hi." He was literally remembered me and was saying hi to me, and it's fucking Robin Williams. I mean, who the fuck does that? Most stars, when they can be dicks or ego or used, like, be famous, they choose it.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He did not choose to act like he could have.
He was like 10,000% nicer than he needed to be.
Yes.
You know?
And yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he would talk to every day. He would make a point of asking after, you know, the crew and how's your kid and how's your dog and all of that. He had no reason to do that. And
do you
yet
think
he
some
just,
of it was guilt in making up for old sins?
No.
No, I think
no,
he's
I
just
don't.
Was
I
that
think,
guy.
I think he's just a nice guy. And
I mean, but look at how he made it. I mean, that has to be remembered, too. I know I'm being the devil's advocate, but the way that
you're
he
just being a devil, not an advocate of anybody.
But the way that he originally made it was through other comedians' material. And I'm sure once he got really
not
big,
totally,
there was guilt.
Not 100%.
Not 100%. But
let's not just say he took somebody.
But that's a part of it, though.
Well, it's a part of his history, but I don't think that mattered
anymore.
There's
a story of someone throwing him down the stairs because he did a bit on The Tonight Show from a dude.
Look, I don't think... Look, yeah, absolutely, I understand that, but I don't think that was part of what... I don't think he carried that around with him. I really don't. Because he showed up at the clubs.
I mean, there's a 1991 Rolling Stone article that they published, republished after his death, and it talks about, this is 91, so this is already, you know, at least 10 years after San Francisco and all that, after Mork and Mindy even, and he stands outside of the club because the comics don't want him in the room.
Well... I mean, I think that generation, I'm not in that generation of comics.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Robin Williams to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think maybe his generation of comics have that for him. I would say yes to that. But he walked in here and was welcome anytime, and he was just a sweetheart of a guy. And I don't think he, you know, I mean...
By the mid-90s, wasn't he strictly just an actor anyway? He barely, like, he did a special every, like, what, three, 4 years?
He did the Broadway special in 2000.
Yeah, he did the Broadway special.
He would go do USO stuff. He would do, you know, he would occasionally go.
Yeah, he did a Broadway special.
Some of that could
have
been.
He had way too many bottles of water on stage. It really bugged me. And he still sweated too much for me to watch, like, a full hour of his comedy.
No, Cat Williams sweats the most out of
everybody. He sweats. No, well, I mean, some of those black lady comedians sweat a lot, too.
But some of that could have been him.
Cat Williams fucking, come on. You ever see a Cat Williams special? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. 10 minutes in, he's soaking.
He's like got seven towels on
stage. It's like he did an ice bucket challenge fucking 10 minutes into his set.
But they're not related.
How do you
Cat Williams and Robin Williams.
No. Joe is fucking on fire.
But there are the stories of him just writing checks for people. So I do feel he did feel the guilt. Yeah. And I think some of that.
Now you're just being a dick.
No, I'm
kidding.
You're attributing it to guilt. It may not be guilt.
I was raised by a comic. So in 1991, I watched Hook and my mom walked past and went, thief. All right.
Really?
That's how I was.
Right. That is a different perspective.
Yeah, that's embedded in your mind. Like.
Yeah.
She's talking about Rufio, though. That Rufio. He lifted a lot of bits.
He stole the sword.
Didn't Jim take Robin to meet his parents? Robin was telling his parents how funny Jim was and talking Jim up, and he didn't have
Jim who?
Norton, sorry, Jim.
Yeah,
really?
He spoke about it on O&A about how he'd barely seen him do stand up, but Robin knew. Robin was saying to Jim Norton's parents, like, your son is so funny, and his parents were, like, beaming. And Jim was like, I know he didn't even really was able to watch my set, but he knew how much that would have meant to my parents to be like, our boy, Robin Williams, is talking about this, about our boy. Like, it's a beautiful story.
So he stole the compliments. They weren't even his compliments.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. It scares me about the business because you think about all he did. And if the business or where he was at had something to do with this, Jesus Christ, where are we? You know what I mean?
But it seems to me that he's a mentally ill person to a degree that most of us, I don't know you guys personally, probably don't understand. I mean, he seems like he's a clinically sick person, mentally, more than career and stuff. It seems to me. I don't know.
People that are clinically depressed, I mean, you know, a lot of times it... You know, they don't even have to have giant career setbacks, you know, as entertainment industry icons to, you know, have problems. So
I heard his show getting canceled really fucked him up, though.
Yeah, he was upset.
I heard that was really like, what the fuck? And why did the show get canceled? Was it ratings?
It was ratings, but it was like, you know, it had the sort of dubious honor of being the highest rated show of the year to get canceled. So, you know, which is kind of a bitch, but...
What channel was it on?
CBS. So that was the problem. I mean, you know, on CBS, they have Big Bang. You know, they have all these sort of like, you know, the top comedies. Yeah.
But all those have been running for years, though. That's kind of like, you know...
Do you think that his fame, he thought he could carry the show for a couple seasons, at
for
least?
For people who don't know that's Chris Scopo? Yeah. Go ahead. He says one thing a show. Wow. Talk more.
Like his fame could have carried the show. Like he thought he was that famous where he could, you know, a couple
like
seasons.
Like the show was on his shoulders kind of thing.
Well, I think he felt responsibility because, you know, it was certainly promoted but it wasn't as just, Robin's show. But it was an ensemble show.
He had an ensemble show. Yeah, that was famous.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
And
Jesus
Christ. Jimmy Walk, Hamish Linklater. I mean, there was, you know.
And the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Brad Garrett. Brad Garrett. Yeah, we brought Brad on. Yeah, no, there were a lot of people. It was an ensemble show.
Yes.
And you know, I was very sad that it got canceled. We, you know, certainly hoped it wouldn't.
Right.
But
did you know it was going to get canceled?
No. I mean, not until, I mean, we knew it was on the bubble. We didn't know whether or not, you know, it was going to get picked up or not.
Right.
But I think we were all holding out hope that, you know, it would get picked up.
Right.
But,
highest rating show of the year, and it got canceled.
No, it was the highest rated show that got canceled. So of the shows that got canceled,
CBS though is a hard network to be on now because it has so many hit shows, and they're not, you know, they got shows. They're not doing that many shows because they already have hit shows. And if it's not up to par, they're fucking just douche them.
They only let me on for 5 minutes.
For who? What were you on?
The Late Show.
Letterman joke.
Letterman joke.
Small indie show.
Sorry,
I threw some money at.
I was on fire for a moment there. I thought I could miss.
Yeah, and you're the reason he's leaving. Sorry. So I went and bragged. So.
Jeez.
What time do you have to leave?
2:45.
2:45. Okay. Why don't we take a quick break?
You gonna break on my bomb?
Yeah, we're gonna break on your bomb. Can you throw the bandana over to him, please? It's right on your mic.
Oh, I just said something that bombed you. I'll keep
it. Oh, then just keep it.
Yeah.
Tell us more about your mom.
Bomb bandana?
Why don't you bring that back to your mom? Listen, I. all right, we'll be back. We're gonna do. You guys watching live? Stay tuned. We'll be back in 5, which is really 15 minutes, and then because the sign says 5, but we always take 15, and. We'll be back in a couple minutes, all right? All right, check it out. All right, listen, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. You could get a piece of the $5 million being awarded this week. You've already scouted your players for the season-long team. Turn that knowledge into instant cash starting this Sunday at DraftKings.com. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000 in 1 week. Another player won $1 million in 1 day just playing fantasy football. It's ridiculous. Okay? Play daily fantasies along with your season-long league at DraftKings. They're crowning a millionaire. They're crowning millionaires all season long. All season, people are going to become millionaires at DraftKings.com. You could be next. Okay, so here's the deal. DraftKings.com is bigger than ever, okay? The winnings are bigger. The events are bigger. There's bigger millionaires. It's incredible. Use promo code Kelly, and you'll get free entry into the week one $5 million kickoff bash. Enter Kelly for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Make sure you go to riotcast.com. Check out all the other podcasts. We have amazing shows. We are one of the funniest podcast networks out there. And I'm not just saying that because I fucking own half the fucking network. Tee-hee. We got Hammer Fisting. We got Davey Mac Sports Program, Jim Florentine Show, Why You Suck in Bed, Weird Medicine, Why My Wife Hates Me, Mad Scientist Party Hour, The Jersey Jerks, The Bailey J Show, and of course, the You Know What, Dude. And now we have the new show. What's the new show? Band Geek, which is fucking phenomenal. It's really killing it. And we got two more new shows coming out in the next month that we'll be announcing. We're very proud to announce. I'm very excited about. What's that?
Can't say who it is yet.
No, can't say who it is yet. And your mic's not on. But anyways, so make sure you go to riotcast.com and check out all the other shows. And if you want to support the show, we have a donate button right on the YKW Dude site. Thank you to all the people that donate monthly. All that stuff goes back into the show. Microphones, cords, whatever the fuck we have to buy. You guys buy it for us because you're the shit. So you can hit that button right through PayPal, credit card, whatever. $5, $10 million, whatever you got. Also, we want to make sure you go to the Amazon link on our page. If you're going to buy anything off the internet, I don't care if it's colostomy bags or pens, you can buy it through that link. We make money. You get your shit, and Amazon gets a little piece, and everybody's happy. And we also have Gamefly.com. If you're a video gamer, and you can use our code. What's the code? It's dude. If you type in, if you go to Gamefly.com/YKWD, and use the code word dude, you get, what is it, 30, what is it? 15-day two-disc trial. Right from us here at YKWD. So check that out. And then go to tweakedaudio.com for all your headphones need. Don't go and buy these fucking Beats. don't spend $200 on fucking headphones that you're going to forget on a plane and then kill yourself because you can't afford to get headphones. Go to tweakedaudio.com. They're inexpensive headphones, but they're not cheap. They're well-made. And for a very inexpensive price, they got all kinds of mic, not mic, different colors. They're in-ear. They're unbelievable. And right now, if you go there, you get 33% off. That's 33% off, free shipping, and lifetime limited warranty. If you use the code word DUDE, that's D-U-D-E, at checkout. A 33% off, free shipping, and a lifetime limited warranty. Code word DUDE, tweakedaudio.com.
You are listening to the YKWD podcast. YKWD podcast. YKWD.com.
All right, we're back.
I got two bananas left. If anybody wants one, I'm hungry.
No, all right, we're back. I'm gonna eat a banana. I'm gonna eat a banana while we're doing this. Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want times?
No, I just need the first one.
You need the first one.
Yeah.
Did you get the first? Scope, did you get the first one?
Yeah, we got it.
You already got it?
We got it, Robert. Okay. Looking good. Okay, you ready to roll?
All right, let's go. All right. The most annoying thing in radio or podcasting is somebody eating a banana.
You're enjoying it a lot.
I thought this was going to be about Kelly for sure.
Into a $400 microphone.
Na, 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 na.
Yes, Kelly's leaving the show. Kelly is leaving the show, which I'm very sad about because Kelly has been my right-hand woman here on the show for many years.
I love being here, Robert.
Apparently not enough. Not enough to fucking stay.
Where is she going?
I'm just going back to Australia for 6 months.
Taking some comedy classes. we're paying for it.
I thought you said comedy glasses. Yeah.
She says for 6 months, but there's no way she's going back to Australia where everybody's going to treat her nice and she's going to be, oh, you're in America and people know her from the show and she's going to get some accolades and she's gonna be like, why the fuck am I going to go back to these shitty people and be a waitress when I can live at home with my parents or my mother, eat as much as I want and fucking have fun in my home country and do comedy.
Not deal with snow and polar vortexes.
Right, right.
No, no, no. But every time I'm out of the city for like...
Did you say no, no, no?
No, no, no.
She's stuck on Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Robert. No, when I... when I was in Italy, I like by day like six, I fucking... You want... all you want to do is get out of New York. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you're out, you're like, I got to go back.
Yeah,
it's
no,
horrible.
It
like,
does. It's a great city. It really does get into your veins like a fucking drug, like a disease. Mm.
I miss it. I love coming back. Any opportunity. Jesus.
Yeah, it is. It is great. But, you know, I just don't think you're going to come back. But whatever. I hope you do. If you come back, you're going to come back to the show or are you done with the show?
No, I'm coming back.
I'm reverse of Bobby. I think you are going to come back, and I hope you don't. So we're complete reverse.
Joe.
We can do a Kickstarter.
Where are you? Yeah, microphone, Howard.
Yes. Kickstarter to raise money to bring her back.
I thought it'd be great.
I'm doing a Kickstarter to pay her Australian rent.
She just does this show, but with like seven koala bears.
Well, we get a lot of interns. If you're looking to be an intern, we have, of course, Adrian. But sometimes he can't be here, which fucking annoys me. But
Adrian.
But when you are here, I love you. But when you're not here, it bugs me.
Why don't you go back to Australia, Adrian?
No, he's from fucking Long Island. Where are you from? Jersey.
Sorry. Jersey.
Ooh. Big difference.
They pronounce the N-word differently. Two different places.
That's great.
Of course, yeah. Kelly loved that. She thinks Brandon is Mike Brown.
Australia, you're
Kelly loves everybody.
Crikey, I thought you were Mike Brown.
We have Freddie is looking to intern. We have a girl named Sharon who's looking to intern.
Sharon.
We have a guy.
I've never met a hot Sharon.
I don't know who.
What's great about it. Sharon, just with a cigarette out of her mouth.
We have
Sharon Stone.
We have a guy, Dupu Gill.
I know him. He's a... Deepu Gill. I know him.
Yeah.
We also have a...
Bobby, I'm going to have to say that all these people, I have to vet them.
And anyone who gets to you has to go through me.
Wait, okay. You just called someone else an open micer?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
And we have this
You're
guy.
An open micer.
We have a guy named Derek. Oh, shit.
He's so concerned with statuses. What's wrong with that?
You just use the status.
Oh, jeez. What's going on?
I do open mics.
I'm just trying to
Mike's
fucking.
Firing.
What are you firing shots at?
I know.
She's leaving. How far do you want her to go?
She's but going out the door in case.
You want her to
right
leave
out
tomorrow? What the fuck, dude? She's already leaving.
Because you know why? Because if I had said he's a comic, then someone would have said. If I had said, oh, yeah, I know him, he's a comic, someone would have gone, he's an open micer. And I probably know he listens to the show, and I didn't want him to feel kind of bad with someone, you know, pushing him down.
Is there a bandana for someone who doesn't know when to stop talking?
By the way, Kelly's reasoning, she goes, I thought if I said comedian, someone would call him an open micer.
Someone would have
bagged
him.
So I called him an open micer.
No, but
I didn't want anyone to talk bad about him, so I preemptively talked bad about him.
Joe, they would have said it with venom. I said it in a nice little way.
Kelly Zings.
Yeah. Well, we missed them all.
Oh.
No, I have three backups. Of course we got it.
Oh, great. Also, we could see any other episode previously.
Do we have the backups?
Yeah, we have three backups,
plenty
right?
Of, we got Kelly Zing backups. Rolling.
We have three different things rolling. Because I fucked up so many times recording the show, yeah. I hit the wrong button. But I've done that 19 times, so I have an archive over here, and then we have the audio backup from the video. So
the last 5 minutes will be in the show?
It will be in the show.
I just want to know.
Oh, should we offer it as like a dollar download? Extra.
The only part that will be missing is Brandon talking about his mom missing, ironically.
No, that's it. I turned it.
Guys, the man has suffered.
Can't shit on each other.
Watch the news. Fuck? Don't you know what's happening in Ferguson? He's suffered enough, for God's sakes.
When I go home, I'm just gonna eat popcorn and cry.
Mm. Like a regular night.
It will be.
It's a regular night after your sets.
Like you
I can only afford popcorn and
sitting
and
on my
tears.
Couch watching Simpsons and just drinking beer.
Who do you live with?
I live by myself.
You live by yourself?
Yeah.
Where?
It's a beautiful story.
Beautiful apartment.
Oh yeah, Joe's been to my apartment.
Well, how did you get your own pad?
I
work. What do you do?
I'm a manager for a private test company.
What the fuck is that? What do you do? What is this still?
I supervise all the teachers that go like to different sites and teach the product and shit. So I'm a manager of like 70 instructors.
So you took a day off to come here today?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I work from home, so I can kind of.
Wow, that's fucking. So you're really a white guy.
Weren't you a guidance counselor too?
Well, that's why I got my master's, and yeah, I did that, and then I stopped doing that because I got a good opportunity to not work with kids.
Bobby, like, that's so racist.
What?
He says he has a job and he's successful, and you go,
boy, you're so white. I mean, that is really venomous.
That could even be funny. I mean, I was just trying to be funny.
Well, I just don't think it's funny with what's going on in Ferguson.
you just want to say Ferguson. Are you trying
to? Ferguson.
Are you trying to get on Ferguson before he gets fucking?
Do you know someone there?
I do.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway,
I got a good tape in my pocket. I shouldn't have said pocket. It's not believable. Bag. Why didn't I say bag? Damn it. Who carries a tape in their pocket?
Keep going, Jay.
Joe's like hoping those three backups aren't working either.
Don't worry. I got three more Good Will Hunting jokes ready to go.
I had dinner last night with Jim Serpico, who couldn't stop talking about your special.
Yeah.
When is that? What's that? You got any news on that?
Yeah, we got news.
Yeah. Can't share it?
No, not yet.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
But we have, we great stuff's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounds like it.
We got great stuff happening. We're very happy with it.
Yeah.
You know, we took a risk, man. You know, look, at specials are done in a certain way for certain reasons. I mean, I don't like it. I don't get it. I just think that not every special should be in a theater. Not every special should have a fucking curtain and blah, blah, blah. You know, and sometimes when they go too far with it, I think it's ridiculous when they do too much kooky shit in a special.
Yeah.
You know, I think it should be, you know, like I always say, a couple hundred people in a room is what we do 90% of the time. If you're a comedian, there's 10 people that are famous that are doing theaters all the time or big arenas. Everybody else, we're working in clubs on weekends. We're in a club. There's a couple hundred people there. And we're trying to fucking work it out. And you're right in front of them. And you can see them laughing. And I always wanted to film a special like that. And Serpico figured it out. He figured out how to do it. He figured out the camera shots. I mean, you can't just shoot in a small club because you're going to see the fucking... He figured it all out. Bobcat fucking did his magic.
Did you love Bobcat?
Love Bobcat.
He's great.
Yeah, great guy. And you know, we did it at the Village Underground. You know, I always, you ever see Live from the Fillmore and stuff like that? I always saw that. I was like, that's cool. Like, that looks like a fun, and that Live from the Village Underground was always like, wow, that'd be, the Comedy Cellar is always my thing. Like, that would be something to remember. That's a poster. I'd be like, wow, that's a fucking great. Where was that? When did that happen? You know, these other theaters, it's like, ugh. You know, there's nine. You can watch a special, and I've seen five people with the same fucking, you know, theater. The same artwork on the ceiling.
Attell's is great, where he performs at the different clubs, and he gives a fan a camera in the front row, and they film some of it. And it's like at the stress. It's at the places where people do comedy. Like you said.
I think. I just think that I think it's going. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think it's going back that way. I think more people are going to start doing clubs instead of these theaters because number one, the technology's there.
Yeah, you can
it's
do it.
Smaller.
Now.
It's you can handle
it's
it.
That show, The Meltdown. You know, it's a show that takes place every week in the back of a comic shop, and they filmed a Comedy Central series in the back of that comic shop.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It came out great. It was very cinematic.
I watched Doug Stanhope's special at a club. It was really good. Intimate.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, this came out exactly the way I want it. And it's hard because you see something in your head and you don't know if the producer's going to get it. Jimmy fucking just got it.
He's the man. I mean, he's so excited about it. He loves, you know, just that you guys just did it.
Yeah, we did it and we did it and then we own it. Which is great.
It's
and
great.
That's a fucking great. That's a real liberating feeling.
You're
as
doing
a comedian.
Louis shit.
Well, yeah. I got mentioned at the Emmys last night.
Yeah, congrats on that.
But what?
And it's a word speech he shot up out.
Yeah,
really? Speech?
I was one of the five people to watch the Emmys last
Which,
night.
Which so Louis won an award for what?
Don't feel bad. I was at the A&P buying milk and eggs, and then I was running back. I forgot that I'm on the phone. Is it whole milk or what are we? She's like, you were just mentioned on the Emmys. I'm like, that's great. Good for you. Whole milk or fucking skim? I'm fucking sick of being in this
Who
place.
Who mentioned you in the Emmys?
There's a guy named Louis C.K.
Right. So I'm familiar with him.
Open micer.
He worked at Bunker Hill Community College for a semester.
I'm not going to miss that laugh.
What
that
That's Kelly right there. This joke completely bombs. Kelly's just like it's deaf comedy jam over here. No offense, Brandon.
to him. Fucking. Howard's more black than Brandon.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Again with this.
Wait, you just did a deaf comedy jam joke. You just did a racist feelings. Joke.
I know, but that joke didn't imply that anyone that's successful is white. I'm sorry about my friend Robert here.
That's all right.
He's from Boston.
Last night, Louis won for the episode.
The fat girl sings.
Yeah, and he won Best Writer.
Oh.
And he went up, and of course he thanked the girl in the episode.
Yeah.
And then he thanked me and a couple other people that were in the episode. It was great. Bobby Kelly said, I want to thank, what was his name? Bobby Kelly, and it was pretty cool him to do.
Ron Lynch, he thanks, yeah.
Huh? That was pretty crazy. I mean, when they mentioned her, the place went nuts. And then he said Bob Kelly, and nobody said shit. And of course, I went to Twitter, and nine people had to fucking let me know that. You fucking cunts!
There was a bunch of comedians there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they didn't like me.
No.
No, they didn't apply. But no, it was really fucking cool of him to do.
Yeah, that's really
good
cool.
Good guy. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. That was fucking on the... fucking mentioned. Now next year we hold one. Right, Dean?
Yeah, well, yeah, not me, but you. Well,
you might be able to win an Emmy. The best outstanding performance. Musical.
Best drama.
You pay the money and you get it submitted.
What are you talking about?
You have to pay money to get considered.
But what are you? What musical?
Your fucking dumb
TV show.
Special.
What is it
musical
dumb for?
Or performance, whatever it is.
Dude, best wig in a pilot, I heard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can win for that. You can win multiple Emmys.
I'm going to win one.
What if the wig won and you lost? The wig just won for best supporting actor.
Yep.
What if the bandana
Christ.
Wins?
Yeah. Howard, can you draw that? I'd love to see. What was your
mushroom cloud?
Just a building exploding behind fucking Lawrence's head.
I think we got to remember this moment where you sat here and you're like, I got mentioned the Emmys, and then next year you're going to win some.
Yeah, well,
I believe in you, Bob.
All right, man. Thank you.
I believe
you.
In you more than you believe in the African American community.
Are you fucking nuts? What's wrong with you?
I just think you're saying a lot of hurtful things.
I didn't say anything. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Oh. Anyways, we got this book, and I know you got to go soon. But I want to make sure that people check this out. Where can they get your book?
It's you know, you can get it
pretty much anywhere, Amazon, iTunes, Barnes & Noble. The easiest way to do it, actually, is just go to romanceformen.com, and there's links to every possible place to get it. And there's also the audiobook. You can get the audiobook. But you can also, if you just put your email address in there, IceFlow emails you a gift that's not to be missed. So you get.
Oh, that's great. What do you?
I would rather not say, but it's suitable for framing. You're gonna want a clear space above your bed. It's you're gonna want it.
Really? If you put your email address where?
Just go to romanceformen.com. There's a little sign up thing, and it's free, right. And you just get.
I love it, dude. This is why I love you, Dean. He's literally a showrunner, and which it should be enough for you. Okay, you're on these great shows. You're a great writer. The career's popping. And then you wrote this book with
Vinny
Tortorici. You guys don't know this, but he's one of the writers on Fitness Confidentials.
Yeah. Vinny and I wrote that together,
Sugar, no grains.
Yeah, which you're following now. Back on it.
Back on, thank God.
The last week, but it's fucking moose, it's been working real good for you, and you know.
Well, I really feel a lot better on it.
Yeah,
I really do. I have sugar. And all of a sudden, I feel like garbage. And then I stop having sugars and grains, and all of a sudden, I just feel better. Wake up in the morning. I took two shits today. I was in the shower. I had to come out of the shower to shit more.
Isn't that great when that happens?
That's my boy.
That's one of my favorite.
I love a feel-good story.
You know why it's a great thing? Because you don't have to wipe. You can just go back in and hold your asshole open with your two fingers.
You still have to wipe up. No, you still have to wipe.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You wash it in the shower.
I'm with you, Bobby. I don't think you have to wipe.
No, you go in the shower. Listen, what you do. You put your hand in your asshole like this, right? You put like this, like you're going to pick up a needle. And then when you get into your asshole, you push open, and then you put it in, you arch your back like you're about to take it in the ass, and then the water goes in and cleans your asshole out.
I think you're overthinking it. I think it's just don't you think? You peel the crack, you let the water come down, and then a little bar of soap in there.
But here's the thing: you're smaller than me, so to get into my asshole crack,
spelunking.
You need your own crane hand to go into my asshole.
Like one of those robot hands.
My asshole. Like the Mars rover you need to get into my asshole.
You need a bomb squad robot to get in.
But you wrote that, and now here you are writing this fucking crazy book.
It's like a sideline thing. You know, it's just I love writing and I love doing stuff. So, it's fun for me to put that stuff out in addition to the regular. I mean, it's not really my day job, but I fucking love it.
Well, you know, what's funny, too, is Howard, he's going to be checking out and hopefully we're going to try to have his artwork be the cover for my special.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
We shot a couple things in it for him because we wanted like a back behind the headshot, and we got those shots for him. So hopefully, because I love his work. You know what I mean? He's so fucking, I don't know if do we have any of his stuff? Where's his poster? It's right there. Can you grab his poster?
I love the opening of your special.
Yeah.
You're walking. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like an old 70s.
It's like a movie, right?
Yeah.
It's very cinematic. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually that, Bobby.
That's great.
No, I'm showing Dean.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were showing the camera.
I'm showing Dean, my friend, across the room.
I'm sorry about that. I thought you were showing the camera.
Let me fucking run the show. You push the buttons.
Oh, you got it there.
You had a couple good ones today, though, Scope. Thank God.
What are good ones? He has questions.
No, he said something about Kelly that was real funny.
I don't remember.
She laughed.
None of us can remember it.
Yeah. When she laughed. But yeah, I love this. This is my favorite.
Yeah, that is great.
Here's what's great about this is I said, this is what I was thinking.
Yeah,
and then he just came back with this. How fucking awesome is that?
Well, that's give yourself crazy. More credit because you was like, put me in a padded cell after you saw it and straight jacket.
That was the this is what I want part.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I was trying to give you some credit.
There's
cocksucker.
There's a big distance between this is what I want and a finished thing that an artist has done.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's up? What happened?
Give me that back.
Oh, all right. Why are you fucking you? Why are you bullying me around? He just tapped me. Scobo doesn't know how to be gentle. He just fucking, give me that back. I'm the guy who fucking.
Well, I'm making sure I know where everything goes. So, in case you want it again.
So make sure you go buy this book and check it out. And I'm going to go to that website. I want one of those free. I love free shit. Is that bad? Am I a swag whore?
Yeah.
I love swag. I love, like this year at Montreal, swag stunk. sucked. Last
everybody
year they
likes free shit.
Brandon's wearing a shirt that says swag.
Is it really?
Star Wars, baby.
Can I say
I get the white guy thing now. I get the white guy thing. I get it.
Say it.
Okay. Can I say something now without getting persecuted?
Well, Star Wars, black, white, that's a little more acceptable than success.
What are you talking about? Star Wars is more racist than Bobby. The bad guy's black.
No, it wasn't the job. It was the job he has. Overlooking people?
Oh, I thought it was just having an apartment and paying rent.
No.
That's what I thought, and I was going to talk to you and compliment you after the show.
the bad guy is voiced by a black guy, but it's a white guy.
But he is black. Darth Vader's black.
What were you talking about when you I told you to save it, when you were talking to him in the break?
To Howard?
Yeah.
Oh. I was talking about, I asked him about, because he does DC shit, and they were talking about Superman.
Yeah.
I was like, how come... In recent years, Superman just doesn't translate to American audiences. Like, I know the movies have been shitty, but also the character just doesn't seem to connect with people the way, like, Batman and other people do. Like, it's just...
What do you think
about
that?
And that's a famous character, and, you know, Clark, you know, fucking...
Mike?
What's his name?
He's got
a blog already written, but...
go ahead, Howard.
Made him fun. Like, they made him dark and... violent
again with the racism.
And
they should,
I don't know, it doesn't translate. It's pretty popular.
Here's the
movies don't. The movies don't.
The problem is they overthink it. So the last two Superman movies, Superman Returns, he doesn't throw a punch, and then the Man of Steel is overly violent. Like, they just overthink it so much. The people who make the movies go in thinking people don't like Superman, and you're already fucked. If you go on stage and you already think the audience isn't going to like you, you're going to be more...
Can I also say this, though, is that it seems to me that Marvel will get great actors to play these parts, and they ground the character in something that it's a great acting role. You know what I mean? They make the... And then what DC has done with Superman, because the original one was a great actor, Christopher Reeves was one of our great actors. And since then, they just get these new people.
Person at the time. He was a soap opera guy.
But nothing close to that movie to me. The Richard Donner Superman.
Was he?
Christopher Reeve.
Superman. Okay,
but
he wasn't a big dude.
But the last two guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's why they did it, because they thought that was the key to success.
They need to get... Like, they had Nicolas Cage was lined up to do Superman.
Oh, God. I can't wait for that documentary.
Yeah. I know. I can't wait.
It looks
really good.
Shit.
Dude, when we were in the DC offices, they had a...
So explain to people what that is, though. People don't know what that is.
So there was supposed to be Superman Lives, I think it was called, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Tim Burton was directing it. Kevin Smith wrote the script for it. Well, one of the scripts for it.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith, if you go on YouTube, he has a huge, like, 10-minute speech about what his pitch was, what happened to the script and stuff. Nicolas Cage, they have, like, screen tests of him flying and shit.
Nicolas Cage is Superman.
It was really going to get made, and then just... fucking everything that
the
could
producer
possibly go
of
wrong.
It was obsessed with giant spiders.
Yeah, that's the
John Peters, right?
Yeah, and then he went on to make Wild West and put a giant spider in it.
Really?
This guy's like just adamant about having a giant spider.
It's fucking
no
weird,
Kevin
man.
Like,
but I was saying, in the DC offices, there's a sculpture bust of Nicolas Cage as Superman.
His suit was different, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had, like,
it
lights.
It was gonna be fucking weird. Yeah.
There was lights
in
the
concept
suit.
Art, it was going to be dark and fucking weird.
It's going to be Tim Burton.
Well, Tim Burton, yeah.
Yeah, but it was going to be like
Scissorhands.
I mean, do you agree with that, though? I think that the new guys, it's like, if you look at Batman, if you look at Iron Man, and you look at all the, they got guys that we knew that we were excited to see in there. You know?
It's crazy. The janitor from Bunker Hill, his best friend is going to play Batman.
Their thing is that...
Do you know he's really smart?
But the saddest part about
Them apples.
The saddest part about Superman.
Can I just say your assistant finds the show not funny at all? Yeah. I saw her chuckle one time.
She's very dour.
What is the word? Dour.
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 Occasionally you'll get a smile, but it takes a lot.
All right.
She's been on her phone looking up other comedy podcasts this whole time. So this format does work. It's just not working now.
Oh, Mark Maron. Okay, hang on one second.
Oh, when one person talks to another, that's compelling, but no.
All right, go ahead.
No, but the thing with Superman is that...
I just had to acknowledge it. Every time there's a big laugh, I look over and she's just like...
No, his real superpower is that he's a great person when nobody else is. And being a good person is seen as unrelatable now because everyone's an asshole.
Yeah, well, everybody's a piece of shit. The world, you know, Mr. Brady fucking fucked dudes. Mrs. Yeah. Brady fucked her son. I mean, nothing is real. All the shit that we grew up on, it was all garbage. Real life stinks. You know, because it was all fake. I mean, it was all like now we realize that, you know, Modern Family is more what life is, not even, but you know, like the shows that we watch now have edge and they're real because we won't accept bullshit anymore because it's already been outed that we're fucked up as people and family lives are fucked up and things are fucked up and life sucks and you have to get through it somehow and decide what type of person you're going to be. And so when you see Superman, you're like, ugh. What a fucking...
Well, I mean, the whole Clark Kent thing just, like, doesn't translate to modern times.
The glasses,
It's like, you're going to know the fuck that's Superman.
Here's the thing, too. They fixed that with Batman because they showed us in Batman Begins that they use pulleys. They use all... This was all military-funded stuff, so he didn't just fly. This fucking suit was made for the military. And, oh, okay, so now I can suspend reality. I can't do that with fucking Superman when I'm going, that's... Superman, you fucking dumb.
That's why Iron Man was brilliant, because Iron Man's whole thing for years was, oh, he's also his bodyguard. And in the movie, they're like, they say, no, that's a dumb idea. And he's like, I'm Iron Man.
Right out
of
the gate.
So let's just do a Superman movie where there's no Clark Kent. It's fine.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, how about Superman likes to write too on the side, so he gets they let him get a job.
The original.
That'd be a random subplot.
Yeah, like a
Random subplot before fighting Zod. He's like, man, I really just want to write.
Yeah,
he still has to make money. Superman still has to make money, doesn't he?
Batman does that as well with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but he wears a mask. Different.
What
the mask?
He wears the mask and he changes his voice into something stupid.
But the mask is the
What
big,
are you saying
one.
About him being stupid?
The voice is not good.
What about these Superman points that were not mine originally because I don't give a shit enough, but are great points? One, my friend Greg Stone, who's a similar...
Big comic book guy.
Yeah. One is like, they don't need to do the origin story every time. Like James Bond, there's a new Bond movie. It's just, we know Bond, here's Bond. Why do we have to have an hour dedicated to his... We know where it's going. We know how he is. We know Superman.
Oh, that's supposedly what Marvel's doing now.
We're in a world
that Superman
exists.
Marvel's actually doing that now for the Phase 3. They're not doing origin stories anymore.
And
which
is
brilliant.
The other point...
You're just going to be riots to characters.
That this other movie sort of addressed, and again, this is not my original point, but I agree with it, is the main story of Superman should be he hears everything. So he's ignoring. He has to choose to ignore thousands and thousands of crimes.
They've done many
and
stories about
that. But he's also ignoring that there's Batman.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't hear Batman going.
In different cities.
Wah. Yeah, I know, but he can hear it.
Metropolis and the other one.
Yeah, where now?
I'm
let me ask
nerd.
You. Where Gotham and Metropolis are the same city? Right. Oh, is Metropolis south? Where is Metropolis?
I don't know where it is on the map, but
it's close to like Chicago, and Gotham is in New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, in the actual map.
That's a real answer?
Yes.
That's why I love Mike. That's why I love fucking Mike Lawrence and Howard. I got Howard Porter who draws it. I got Mike Lawrence who fucking jerks off.
I grew up on Howard Porter's. He drew some of the best comics ever.
What in the name some of the comics that he drew?
He did Grant Morrison, who's considered the best modern comic book writer. He basically drew the story that launched Grant Morrison into the mainstream, which was JLA. That's when the original seven big-ass members of the Justice League got back together. He did one of the best Batman stories ever, Tower of Babel, where Batman had all of these plans to beat all of the Justice League, and Ra's al Ghul used them to attack the Justice League.
Really?
I wish I came up with that idea. I just drew it.
I know, but...
This is why I love Howard. He's the most humble guy I've ever met in my life.
Because it's that you're in a fucking basement for 10 hours a day. Just like, I just do this.
It's not yours in the attic, though.
Yeah. No. Bobby, I grew up on your comedy,
bell tower.
But you look at,
I grew up on your comedy. Just a tip. Fucking
but you look at you look at old interviews of Stan Lee, and he's like, I created this, and I created that. And Jack Kirby, who actually created most of the stuff, is like this old Jew with a stogie in his mouth, and he's like, yeah, they asked for like a guy who ate planets, so I gave him Galactus. You gotta do is what you gotta do.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's the most amazing guy ever.
So Stan Lee is not the fucking guy behind Marvel.
He's one of the guys, but it's much bigger than that.
He's like the Steve Jobs.
Really? Mm. Who's the guy behind DC?
That was Simon Schuster.
I mean, there's a lot of guys.
Simon and Schuster?
That's a good one. I thought that was a good one. Yeah.
What did he say?
Barack Obama.
Who's the guy behind DC? He goes, Barack Obama.
Wasn't bad.
Joe Simon and Jerry Schuster.
Wait a minute. She laughed on that one. She likes political humor.
Hey. Oh, we found out very late, but.
Oh, she goes, no, she's I wasn't. Like, she was laughing at a text.
Political.
She was laughing at a text she got. She was like, no, that wasn't laughing.
It was her boy Jared. I'm sure.
She's like, I'm watching reruns of The West Wing now.
Beanbag theories are
I swear to God, if you look at her phone right now, there's a timer counting down to 2:45, and right when ding, we gotta go.
You should check out Tuesdays with Stories. It's a much, much better podcast. Bigger fan base, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I just got an itch in my ear.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
It's a big move.
Yeah, the fact that they're overthinking Superman is why Superman sucks in the movie.
I mean, right now, favorite superhero of all time. Go ahead.
Of all time?
Yes.
Gee, Martian Manhunter.
Who?
The green
Jean
guy.
Johns.
The green guy from Justice League.
Jean.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Why?
It's similar to Superman. His planet was destroyed, and he's as powerful as Superman, but he can change his shape. And,
really?
I don't know.
Got a shitty weakness, though, fire.
Yeah.
So he can blow up a building, but then the blown-up building will hurt him.
Yes.
Why? See, that blows me away. Why fire? Fire is just so easy.
Old Superman.
There's a plot of every one of those old characters. The original Green Lantern's weakness was wood.
Wood.
Wood?
Really?
Like any type of wood?
Yeah, yeah. Even so his own boners, he would not be able to use
it. Look how mad Joe is he didn't get that one in. He wanted that one.
Yeah.
That's such a list of maniacs going, I wish Joe said that.
I just read recently that a boner is not actually made of wood. It's blood.
That's not true.
So, okay. So, who's your favorite?
Oh, The Thing. The Thing is my favorite.
Why?
He's an ugly Jew made of rocks, and so am I. I love The Thing.
Wow. What about you?
I'm Batman all the way, man.
You what?
Batman all the way.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up to animated series. I read all the fucking great books. I have like the fucking Long Halloween in my.
Stop swearing. We get it. Okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm getting nervous.
What about you?
Probably Batman.
Really?
I love Batman. Yeah.
Okay, what about you?
Batman's the only, he's the only guy I know.
Joe. I don't. Adrian, what about you? Superman, really? Kelly, what about you?
If
you say Yahoo Serious, I'll punch you in your face. Go ahead, what'd you say?
I said the janitor from Bunker Hill, but it's gone now.
Oh, you're lucky.
On it.
You're lucky. First of all,
I don't think it was there at
Kelly,
any point.
Kelly,
you can't call back to my joke.
That was for Joe.
Kelly, do you know how lucky you are that I stepped on that joke?
But I'm such a dummy, I repeated it.
Kelly's stealing Joe's jokes now.
What? I'm not regular.
All right, what about you?
Probably Iron Man.
You know what? I have to go. I would say I'd have to go with Iron Man right now, too. I fucking love Iron Man. He is the
before
shit.
Before the movies.
I liked him before the movies. I loved him after. Once Tony Stark, see, with me, once I can see the person in, I can actually see a real human being, and then I can read the comic, I see that person doing it. So now I even love it more. But a millionaire, cocky fucking dude that has a suit is so cool to me. I just love it.
He's a better character than Batman.
Yeah, I think he is too. I mean, Batman, it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that just don't make sense with him. And
what's the difference between, like, the way that he earned his money that he feels like Batman just has the money, but like that he did it through weapons, so there's that guilt.
Yeah.
And then the alcoholism.
Like, yeah, that's him, like he deals with like the shit that Bruce Wayne doesn't really like in the
comics.
Like
my dad.
Like,
are you changing
superhero.
Your answer?
No, I'm just saying like Tony Stark does have like that shit though.
I'm changing my answer to Jack Icefloat.
I'm telling you, I would fucking love if they did a comic book on this guy, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
You should hire him. To write a
what
comic
about
book.
That kind of
yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's really good. There's gonna be more. There's
who is it? Is he a comic book artist?
No, well, he does comic, but it's like all indie comics and
right,
stuff
okay.
like that. But yeah, he's really good.
Awesome. All right, I'm just trying to make connections, guys. Don't fucking get mad at me. All right, I fucking stepped on something. I'm sorry. All right, make sure we got to get you out of here. You got 5 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
I want to make sure I get your plugs in. We're gonna keep going for a little bit if you guys don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
You guys good? How are you good?
Three.
Who?
Me.
Yeah, you. Yeah, all right. Shut
up. If I were you, I'd kind of wrap it up if I leave.
The Bunker Hill comments will stop.
I can't. Yeah. I don't know how to shut these phones off in here. The reason why I love this studio, you never know when a gnome's going to walk up and just use his bedroom, and you never know when the phones are going off or something's going to happen up here.
A dude lives here?
Yeah. Well,
a gnome.
This is above the Comedy Cellar.
Right.
And gnome, you know, this is his old apartment that he he's never here. Back. What's that?
Is he over there? You guys keep looking over there.
No.
Oh.
He's not. Why? Are you nervous?
I thought he was hiding in the curtains or something. You guys both kept looking over.
Jack Ice Flow Jackson, Romance for Men, Pandora's Box. It's a long title.
Yeah.
Box. Yeah.
Make sure you go check this out. Tell them where they can get it again.
Best thing to do is go to romanceformen.com, and you can get it any which way from there.
I always wanted to fuck a witch.
Well,
not like a wizard, but a real witch.
You know, I
think it's a green girl. Yeah. I always wanted to fuck a green
girl.
Your
actual names are nowhere in this book, huh?
No, it's written by Jack Iceflow Jackson. But I'm taking responsibility for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that mean every time we watch A Wizard of Oz, you get a boner? Because she's a green witch, Barbie.
So we'll be right back. we're going to let... what else you got going on, buddy?
I'm writing a couple pilots for FX. This one, you know, the one on Romance for Men. There's another comedy I'm writing for them. And a script I wrote a little bit ago, Sony just picked up. And so we're putting that together as a half hour. So there's a bunch of TV stuff.
You're just on fire, dude.
I'm working a lot.
You're
like
on
you.
Fucking fire,
like
brother.
Like you. I'm just trying. I got to do 100 projects so I can get another one with you.
Yeah, I do. I was so psyched. Dude, I was so psyched for Bronx Warrants.
I know.
And those guys are great.
I'm doing a great fucking project with those guys.
Really?
That's one of the reasons I'm in town is working
They're
with those
fucking
guys.
All. Will you tell them I said hi?
I will. You know, they love you, by the way.
I love
them. You know what they said about you? These two guys are two cops that Bronx Warrants was based, you know, based on their experiences. And they came to see you for the first time, you know, at the Comedy Cellar just to check you out.
Yeah.
We were talking about you. And they called me, and this was their comment about you. They go, he knows how to clear a room. He can clear a room. And that you were like, you had cop abilities.
Yeah, so they're fucking great, man. These two dudes are fucking hilarious. They wrote a great script, and you fucking came in and fucking made it happen. And I think we put a great show together. It sucks it didn't get picked up, but
it happens.
Now that you see what they did, you're like, oh, they wanted that.
Yeah, but that's fine. There'll be other things. Believe me, I got good stuff going on. You do too.
You're goddamn right. Then we just have to work together, and your assistant. I want her to laugh at this show someday.
Well, you only get three.
Look at that shake of the head.
You get three laughs a day out of her. I can't.
Like
I can't waste more than the three laughs on this show.
Did you laugh? Just tell me. Did you laugh at this book? Just yes or no.
Yes.
This book made you laugh, yes. But this podcast didn't, right? Right.
Jesus, is that your dad, Mike?
All right, I gotta go with her
though because she's in the room.
I never let anybody bring anybody. He said Dean wants. I go absolutely whatever Dean wants to get it. But I never let anybody come up here for the simple fact that they might not get it or it's not their thing. And then you have. I feel bad because we all have to look over there and just see someone not liking what we're talking about is fucking hysterical. There you go.
Well, she found the book funny.
Well, there you go. That's all you need. She's not my assistant. She's yours. So here we go. Pandora's Box, Romance for Men. It's a hilarious book. Unbelievable. Written by one of the funniest guys out there right now. Dean, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I will see you. Call me. And are you going to be walking around? What are you doing?
I'm actually going to the Letterman show.
Oh, shit.
Which is why I got to...
Are you on it?
No, I'm going with Howie Mandel. Who is on it. And
a funnier, famous, more... I get it. Okay.
No, well, I'm doing a couple projects with Howie. So.
All right, you got it, brother. Yeah. All right, well, have fun, brother.
Take care, guys.
And we tweeted out your Twitter name for the book so people can follow it on the YKWD. Awesome.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do what we can, man. We'll promote the fuck out of it, brother. All right, have fun.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
That's it.
So, yeah, walk these guys up. Make sure they know where they're going. It's weird. The
you can just hear her saying "free at last, free at last."
She didn't even wait for him. She just left.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, buddy. Take care. So yeah, it's weird that I feel like Marvel did it right. And DC.
I would agree with it if we watch Letterman tonight and we just hear her laugh through the entire episode of Letterman.
We wouldn't know.
Oh my God.
Who it was.
Yeah. Like some people you meet and you're like, this, like immediately, you ever meet somebody and you immediately go, this person hates me?
Yeah.
Everyone I've ever met.
I call them fans.
No. Listen, I never met her. I don't know who she is. I went immediately when I said hello. She hates my guts. I've done nothing to her. I've said nothing except hello. This person will never like me in the world. And she sat there and just fucking was annoyed with everything we had to say.
Agreed.
Yeah. But there you go. That's all fun.
I think it was me. I think it was the topless thing I did up front.
I think it was every person in this room. I think it was everybody in this room. Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely. She fucking hated everybody. That's why I don't allow civilians up here. I don't know. Hey, can I bring my girl? No. Godfrey girl did the same thing. Godfrey came up. Oh, yeah. She sat in the same chair, did the same
any
thing.
Any guy that's ever brought a girlfriend up here, the girlfriend's been shithouse.
Yeah, or, you know, any type. Oh, this is not a fucking, some chick, you know, some civilian girl's show. Let's put it that way.
When I was six at a comedy club and my mom was on stage, it was like the most boring thing to me. Watching stand-up.
But here's the thing, though. If I was somebody's assistant, I would fake laugh just so I didn't make... Hey, somebody's promoting your boss, which puts money in your thing. I would actually...
That's an L.A. assistant thing. New York assistant's like, fuck it.
Yeah. She's from L.A.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Crazy. I'm going to have a talk with Dean about her.
Yeah. She shook her head when you were like,
listen,
have fun.
Look at... Sit down. Chris Gobo. Ask me if anybody can bring anybody up here again.
Can anyone?
No, no.
Well, I knew it was Dean, so I wanted to I wanted to make sure.
Listen,
she was not assisting.
No, not with this. I like that fucking Brandon automatically sat in the head chair.
No, I told him to move there.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, you're fine. You
get so nervous.
Therein lies the haha.
I really do like this book, though. This was it's actually perverted and fucking funny, and I like it. And I do get off. I mean, you draw. Here's my question. You know, you read these comic books, and some of these guys draw women. Oh my! It's like fuck. Every muscle in their thigh and you can see them, and the thing is so tight and it's beautiful. And then you go to the next thing where another artist drew it, and it's like he didn't. I feel like he gave up. Like he didn't draw. It's not as the girl is not as hot anymore. You know what I mean? Mm. Like Storm in one comic book is like, what? I want to fuck her now. The next one is just like, you know, a leg and an arm and you know, abs.
She just looks like CCH Pounder. You know,
you know what I mean? Why is that?
Just personal preference, I guess. Did you see the new Spider-Woman cover?
Yep, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's causing...
She's bent over.
And it looks like her...
Yeah, but it's drawn by like a Spanish guy in his erotic 60s. Yeah, that's what he's known for.
What do you
look
mean?
At the ass.
What, the new one is hot?
It's very suggestive. It looks like her costume is painted on. And
really? Pull that up, Kelly. Would you? I want to see that. What is it?
All kinds of
Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman? Milo Manara. Manara is the artist.
Is this a movie or a comic book?
Comic book.
See, I like that when the fucking chick's smoking hot. It's like, oh my God. I was just reading the one, the New Avengers, and they caught the Avengers, and they were all hanging up nude. In the right, and you don't show any, but be like, oh my God, Captain America, and everybody's looking at her naked, like, you know what I mean? And
I will say, I get bored in the movies, like, most of the women all fight the same way.
How?
Like, every woman has like the head scissor takedown, like Hurricanrana type thing, and they all like the thing I hate most, like, when
I think Black Widow fought great, you don't think she fought great?
It's the same, move
but it was the head,
and the thing is. She does, like, when I'm sick of women in action movies, when they always have to make the pouty face, like the after they beat someone up, like you're supposed to be impressed that they did that. It's like, no, it's fine. We see it a lot. It's okay. Like Ronda Rousey in Expendables 3, every time she beats someone up, she then like winks at the camera, and it's gross.
Look, Ronda Rousey's not an actress. One thing, she's a fucking.
Oh, and that movie proves it. She's terrible.
She is not.
An Oof.
Does Sylvester Stallone make the pouty face too?
Here's the thing, though.
Look what I just did. I beat these guys.
But here's the thing with her, and this is what sucks with people who cross over. Nobody's around them telling them that. Everybody around them is going, you're great, you're great. You're going to do another one. They want you for another. Oh, I'm an actor now. And now I'll do acting and I'll do my thing. And it's like, listen, there's a difference between a fucking actor and what the fuck you did.
It works. Batista's amazing in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
He really did good.
Hilarious.
But I think wrestlers are actors. Yeah. I think they're great actors because every day they get scripts from writers and they have to learn lines in seconds. And then they live shoot that shit sometimes where they can't fuck that.
There's no prompter. Yeah.
No, you got to become you're becoming that character. And you have to be great, and you have to do it in front of live people. It's theater. I mean, you can't. When you're going in as a fighter, and then you're going on a movie set, that's a totally different thing. Totally fucking. These guys, Batista was amazing, hilarious.
I think it's the best comic book movie yet,
ever.
Who's gonna have the balls to tell Ronda Rousey, you know, that's horrible? She'll just,
you know, who will? The fucking box office when she does her own movie, and they did with Gina Carano.
I mean, they did it with Expendables 3. That shit bombed.
That movie bombed hard.
Fucking bombed. And Gina Carano's movie, they had to dub her voice in. Oh. They dubbed a fucking cooler voice in. I love Gina Carano. I love Ronda Rousey.
Let them fight. Don't talk.
Fight each other. But it's like, if you're gonna do a movie, please don't think you're gonna jump over and be a movie star. It's not going to happen.
GSP, though, was good in Avenger, Captain America.
First of all, he said three words. He looked angry, and then he said three words, and a couple of them were in French. So we don't even know what the fuck he really said.
And his costume sucked.
Yeah, so...
He was boring.
But he did.
The character that he plays is so fun and awesome in the comics, and he had none of that in the movie.
Everyone's just had moments of dejection on this podcast. Just like, well,
I forgot Silva was here. I didn't know who was talking. I looked at everyone's face to figure out who was talking.
GSP did not capture the essence of Batroc the Leaper.
And you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I think Guardians, I've seen it twice. I went and saw it Friday night with Ryan Hamilton again, The Late Show, and I loved it just as much. It was fucking awesome.
It's the best.
You think it was so good because it's fun. You know what I mean? And then the Spider-Man stuff, all Superman stuff, it's always so serious and dark all the time. And
Iron Man as well. It was fun to watch.
Because
it was enjoyable.
She's going to go back to Australia and be a film critic. And
you know what it is about Marvel? They let these people write these scripts. They let them kind of go off and do their own thing. They don't fuck with the movie. Like, that's what I heard about Spider-Man. That's why the new Spider-Mans have been so bad, because the studio keeps like giving them notes and trying to change shit.
Well, the thing is, if you make a good movie first, no one gives a shit. Like, and that's the thing. Like, Guardians, I haven't read much Guardians. Most people don't know about those characters, but it doesn't matter because the movie was good. If it's the jokes work, and it's one of the funniest movies of the year.
Funny fucking movie, great movie. It was
great soundtrack.
The soundtrack was amazing. But here's the thing: is that now that you know that it put everything in perspective with Avengers and Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, you know that they're all going to come together.
Yeah,
and. Like all these little scenes, like in Avengers, where Loki's on this other planet and talking to that guy. To see that guy get his head snapped by fucking Ronan. That was oh, shit, these are all connected. And they're all going to come together is like, fuck, I can't wait. You know what I mean? It's exciting. I don't feel that way on it's like Batman versus Superman. I'm like, you better do it right. Because if you don't...
They're throwing everybody in there. That was supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel, and they fucking just like, well, that one kind of bombed. Let's just throw in everybody.
Part of the problem is that all like the Wonder Woman image, like all of the pictures look dull and gray and reddish. They look boring. And like you look at Guardians, you take Michael Rooker, who's just a great character actor, right? He's awesome in everything he's been in.
Right.
And you paint him blue,
right? Like
this goofy color, and it's awesome,
right?
Because he's just being Michael Rooker, John C. Reilly. Like the actors that they cast are fascinating.
They're good actors.
That's Glenn what you're Close. At the beginning.
What's that?
That's what you're saying at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying at the beginning. They're treating these roles not as superhero roles, but as a regular movie.
Benicio del Toro is incredible.
Incredible.
But you know what changed that though? What? Dark Knight.
Dark Knight did.
Ledger,
you're absolutely.
Ledger, Joker,
I don't even say. I'd say the first original Dark Knight changed it, because Batman himself was one of our greatest actors. Well, he's a phenomenal.
Jack Nicholson in 89.
Oh, fuck Jack Nicholson.
I mean, and I agree, but I'm just saying, but the big
Jack
actor,
Nicholson, yeah, are they like ready that. For me? Oh, yeah. Fuck off.
He looks like he just fell asleep in Coke.
I'll tell you when I hated Batman, that Batman. When I saw Mr. Freeze and he was running away and someone hit one of the ice things and it wiggled because it was made of plastic. Oh, yeah. I said, I'm done with this fucking.
But we got to see one of those ice things in the DC office.
Not that I wouldn't fucking go touch it. Yeah. Touch a wiggling piece of ice.
Bobby, I gotta run.
Okay, sorry. Joe. I forgot. Why do you gotta run? Walk.
I gotta do the Sam Morril podcast.
What are you doing?
Sam Morril's podcast.
You're fucking leaving my show?
Well, I don't want to get into whole thing
another
here.
Another place needs unnecessary callbacks. I understand.
Unnecessary. The laughs. I thought the laughs were necessary. But I'm going to get out of here so you guys can break down comic books. That'll be fun for everyone.
Go watch baseball. Listen,
Struggling. I'm struggling so much.
I will watch baseball and then not talk about it on a podcast.
alienate half the audience.
I'm with Joe.
Movies make billions of dollars. They're popular now.
Yeah. So does baseball, by the way.
I had a line. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes more money than movies, I think.
For the players.
This is the best back and forth I've ever had on the show.
Because I'm talking to you the whole time.
Bully.
I figured what I was going to say. Where am I going?
Give me your dates. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The podcast was supposed to start at 12:30. I've been here for 2 hours and 25 minutes, and I got here 10 minutes early.
Yeah, dude, I'm sorry. It was my fault.
Well,
today.
You tried to bust my balls about leaving the show.
No, you don't have to leave. I said don't
I
run.
Be done
no, you said
later.
I got to run. I said don't run. I said walk. I didn't bust your balls.
Don't run. The thing about Bunker Hill Community College is,
Joe, I'll see you later. Make sure you listen to his podcast. We're going to be.
I don't know what's happening.
Tuesdays with Stories. We're going to wrap this up very shortly.
Love you, Joe. Love you, Joe.
Bye, Joe. See you next week.
I got a picture of the Spider Woman. Is this the red, that
yep.
one?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah, look at that arch back.
Look at that ass. That's crazy. Yeah.
Wow, man.
It's the first time I've seen the picture without my own jizz on it. So.
Can I just say something, though? I like that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people.
Do you draw like that sometimes?
No, I don't draw like that.
You know, so just... Can I ask you a question, seriously?
Sure.
Have you ever drawn a fucking... like a piece of art, a chick, where you're like, oh my God, I would jerk off to my own artwork?
No, not yet.
No?
No.
Oh my God. If I could draw like you, I would just draw tits. You'd have a draw of tits.
I've done things to some of your pictures of Big Barda that I cannot
see. That's why I don't draw like that. No. I don't want dudes doing that.
Big Barda. That's a DC character. Right. Her name is Big Barda.
That's fucking crazy. All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up. Can we tell people some of the, because I want to know too, some of the comic book series that you wrote that if someone wants to go see your art and read the comic, what can they do?
So you draw. He's like, I don't write them, I draw.
You draw them, but I want to see your art and enjoy the comic.
Right now, I'm doing a book called Justice League 3000. You can get that, you can get it online. DC has an app.
Right.
Or you can go to a comic book shop and find it.
This is your. What are you laughing at?
Because he's like, you can go to a comic book.
You can't find them at Walmart.
Justice League 3000. What's another one? What's one? Should I ask Mike? Because he seems to know.
If you're gonna Flash.
If you're a Howard Porter fan, what comic book?
I mean, Tower of Babel is probably, I think, the best thing that he's drawn.
That's
the best
Justice
story.
League of America from.
Right.
Yeah. Mark Waid's the writer, 2000s. One of the best writers ever, and you draw it, and it's fantastic. If you love Batman, it's great. It's a great. They did a movie of it called Justice League Doom. It's an animated movie. Yeah.
Really?
But it would not surprise me if it becomes a live action movie, too. It's one of the best stories ever.
Okay, cool. I'm going to check that out. I was trying to find, I wanted to find like the, because I was explaining to you, it's very hard to find story arcs and to go through them and keep, you know what I mean? And
right, like you saw the movie Avengers, where did that happen in the book?
Justice League, New World Order, that's a great one too.
The entire planet rises up and...
World War III.
Oh, World War III. Okay.
Now, when you,
I don't even remember.
So how does it work with a comic? You have to draw the art after they write the book,
right? You get like a script,
right?
Like, which you would get for a play or a TV show,
right?
It's broken down into pages, and
So you sit there and go, okay, this page, you know, Batman is
right.
coming out of a fucking plane.
And fall. I gotta, yeah, direct it. Like, so you, and come up with the sets and all that.
Right. So you'll come up with the now does it do you just do it and it gets approved and then you finish, or do you finish it and say this is it, fuck you?
Usually when I finish it, it's done, but sometimes there'll be notes to correct. But in the past, you would have a penciler was what I do, and then it would be handed off to an inker who would go over it with ink. But okay. Now I'm doing it all myself.
You do everything yourself. Yeah. Why is that? Because of technology?
Yeah, I'm able to speed up the process with computers.
So you do everything on a computer?
About 50%.
What? Yeah. So what? You have a pen, a pencil, and you...
Right. I do the rough on the computer, print it out, and then I trace it off on a light box with pencil and paper.
Right.
And then back you, into the computer.
And you scan that back into the computer.
Right. Yep.
And then what do you do with that? Then you draw, and then you... That's when you start adding the color and the details?
I actually don't color it. There's a colorist, because...
So you
time wouldn't permit it.
Really?
Yeah.
So someone will color in what you do.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because these things come out. It's a assembly line process. They have to come out like, you know, regular magazines once a month. You have to get a page a day done. So wow. It's a lot of pressure.
Jeez. It's a lot of pressure, man.
It's all deadlines. Yeah.
I didn't fucking know that. Is that why you're stressed out all the time?
Am I?
No, I'm kidding.
Dude, the guy back in the day, the dudes would do like 4 or 5 comics a month.
Yeah.
Like Kirby
yeah.
would do like 4 comics a month.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is a lot of pressure. Because if you fuck off, if you stay out late drinking and partying, and you don't get your work done,
and I screw the next guy in the
you fuck, and yeah. it just falls off.
Right?
Has that ever happened?
Once or twice.
Really?
Comic companies, they always have inventory stories, like in the tank, basically. So if an artist is late on the deadline, they could just put in. It's usually like a fill-in artist, like an inventory story that they'll just have in the middle there.
And fans love that. When their story is interrupted.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They must fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, but it's happened to you. Did you get in trouble? Did you get fired?
No, I've never gotten fired.
Good.
But yeah, they had to pull the inventory thing or fill in. But,
oh, shit.
I've been pretty good with my deadlines.
Yeah?
Yep.
It's great. He pulled up in a Beamer. I told him. Like, I think I go.
Only douchebags drive. This isn't your car, is it?
I go. Oh, fuck. This is your car. He goes. Yeah. I go. I have a theory. Only douchebags drive BMWs.
And I said, you are correct.
There was in the early 2000s. There was an X-Men issue where this. They were so late on the deadline. This one guy was like, I bet I could do. And I won't mention the name, but he was like, I bet I could do this in a week. He's like, I'll get the whole issue out in a week, and it's the most unreadable thing you've ever seen. It's like, you did it. You shouldn't have.
What was it?
It was X-Men.
It was an X-Men issue. And because, like, when you read the storyline, like the trade paperback, it's like, oh, part one looks great, part two looks great. And then you're like, oh, it just hits you hard.
Nobody knows he had to rush. They just see the finished thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Crazy. All right. So, yeah. Howard, thank you for coming in today, brother.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming to my barbecue.
Thanks.
Fun time. And
what happened to all that meat?
I gave a lot of it away. Yeah. Yeah, I just people were taking it.
That was a lot of meat.
Yeah, dude, I cooked a lot of fucking food. Everybody took plates home, so thank God. And my neighbor came home, and of course we had it twice yesterday. We had sausages twice. I made her make sausage cacciatore. That's why I was at the fucking A&P getting milk and eggs and mushrooms. And while I was being mentioned on the Emmys, I was a fucking cocksucker in my life. But anyways, Mike, thanks for coming by, dude.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Thanks, man.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best. I mean, you've been married for longer than all of us, for Christ's sakes, which is crazy.
Thank you.
I don't know, yeah.
Howard is like the nicest guy. I just can't imagine you ever getting mad or angry. You're like the sweetest little guy.
I get mad at myself.
You do? He really is.
Screaming in
the
mirror.
He really is just a beautiful.
Are you going to invite Bobby to your wedding now?
No, he's not. Of course
we don't
not.
Have enough meat.
That's a nice fat joke. Brandon, thank you for coming down.
Absolutely, man.
I appreciate it. Kelly, how many more weeks we got left to you?
Three.
3 weeks. Shit. All right, so what do you got? You got anything you want to promote?
No, just
check out his stuff. Yep. Thank you for coming. What do you got, Mikey?
My album, Sadamantium, is still on sale. You can go on my website, MikeLawrenceComedy.com. And I'll be at JFL 42 in Toronto, September 18th through the 21st.
I always wanted to do that. I've been to Toronto so many times, too. I'm such a fucking needy. I just did JFL 3 years in a row. I've been to Toronto. I just did a tour with them. I want to do it. I'm such a fan. Have fun up there. It's a blast. That's a blast up there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rob. What's his name? From Toronto, Rob wants to take your job, too. A lot of people want your job, yeah.
But he doesn't live here.
He's moving here.
Is he?
Yeah.
Jeez, I'll talk to Rob.
Yeah, talk to Rob about it. But we got the girl Shannon, I got to get her photo. Make sure...
the girls have to get the photos.
Here's what I want from everybody. If you want to intern for this Kelly's job, I need a photo and I need a somewhat of a resume of what you can do, because there's a lot of Facebook and Twitter and videos and
audio
and, you know, stuff like that. So send it to Kelly@Riotcast.com.
Yeah.
Kelly@Riotcast.com and CC me, YKWD@Riotcast.com.
Yes.
And we will go through them. So I know a bunch of you sent them already. Resend them to Kelly and myself, and we'll go through them. What do you got, Brandon?
You guys can follow me on Twitter, Mr_B Collins. Check out my show, ComedyOutliers.com. I also have a podcast, Comedy Outliers. We have our show on Saturday, September 20th. Go to our website, hit me up on Twitter for the discount code, and hope to see you guys there.
Who's on the show?
We got... Fuck, why you gotta ask me that now? I'm completely blanking on the line.
Kelly, what do you got?
Well,
it must be a great show. Nobody worth fucking remembering.
I'm going to be at the Stress Factory on the 9th of September.
With
who? It's just like a bunch of us.
Oh, good.
Which is great. So I might, if people come out, I might grab some stickers and stuff and see if anyone shows up. Blah, blah, blah.
What do
and
you
also
need?
On Friday the 12th at the Creek, I'm doing a one-off show, New York Sex Stories. It's a free show. It's going to be great.
Great. So check that out. Yeah. Maybe I'll stop by. What do you got, Scopo?
Just get me on Twitter, @ChrisScopo. And we're going to be at Foxwoods with you and Lewis October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Okay.
Check that out.
What else? I'm going to be in Copenhagen.
Yeah, you're going to be in Denmark September 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yeah.
In the Bremen Theater in Copenhagen, Denmark.
And then where?
And then you're going to be October 10th, one night at the Comedy Shop in Hazlitt, New Jersey. The next night, October 11th, at the Seneca Casino in Niagara Falls. And how are you doing 2-1? That's a mistake, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how you're doing that.
All right, we'll fix that. All right. Well, and then we start filming, too. We start filming Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll in October. So there you go. Good news coming. I can't announce it yet, but a lot of great stuff happening. You guys are the best fans in the fucking world. I'm talking to you. If you're a man and you go on Twitter and you tell another man how much he stinks, you're a fucking not a man. That's a fact. Men don't tell other men reviews and opinions. You go to their face and you tell them. If not, you shut your fucking mouth. My grandfather is a man. He would have never went on the internet and went, "I don't like your pod. Fuck you. You stink." Just know that. If you say negative shit to people... as a fucking coward, you're a coward, fucking non-man piece of shit. That's what you are. That's really what you are. You understand that? Know that. You're a fucking coward. I don't like you're a coward. Just don't like it like a man. Okay? You get
be
it?
Be a man, sit in this studio, and not laugh for 2 hours. That's how you fucking do this shit.
Yeah, that's what she did. Yeah.
That's a hero.
She had balls.
That's brave, you know?
It's not brave. It's fucking stupid. Go downstairs and have a cup of coffee. You don't need to be here.
Yeah.
All right. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. You know what, dude?
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.